drawing from newly released intelligence, Trump laid bare how Beijing exploited vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure through hacking, data theft, and coordinated influence operations.
Documents show that during this period, dozens of significant CIA and NSA reports about China's election targeting were kept out of the presidential briefing. These were briefings I would get almost every day. Everything was kept out that was of importance. One email among intelligence analysts admitted that they had, quote, deliberately massaged the presidential daily briefing to withhold information regarding Chinese activities related to the election. Another official inside the FBI wrote that she was running, quote, a shadow government, unquote, to keep intelligence about China's election meddling from becoming known and to keep it away from the honorable press.
And what's interesting is the left saying, well, we were actually in control of those agencies at the time. But the problem we always have with the deep state, which is exactly what it is that when you come in and have politicals in charge, you have people who are career bureaucrats underneath who really cause, they have a lot of power to keep things from you and to do things they shouldn't do.
He connected the dots to the engineered chaos of 2020, where a virus from China conveniently locked down the country, eroded election integrity, and paved the way for stolen data to install a compliant puppet regime.
We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins. Once again, revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth.
NSA analysts openly admitted chopping up assessments and downgrading intelligence to bury links between Beijing's activities and the 2020 contest, even as the FBI under Director Wray drew an absolute red line against including dissenting views that China had indeed meddled.
And this was, Katie, like a massive effort, what they call a multi-domain operation. That means trade, it means diplomacy, it means open source information, it means social media. So all the levers of power China had to influence the U.S. election. So there was clear evidence of political and personal bias, and intelligence is supposed to be neutral. So what we heard tonight from the president is an allegation that this intelligence was suppressed in order to harm him, and now we're seeing documents already which back up those claims.
The other thing that we blocked yesterday was the SAVE Act, right? Which was literally allow this administration to rig our democracy so that it would be hard for any Democrat in any state to win any election.
There you have Senator Alyssa Slotkin, nominally from Michigan, but really channeling her CIA training, admitting that her party can't win if the U.S. adopts the kind of voter identification laws that most of the other civilized nations in the world use.
We know that the Justice Department's compromised. We know they don't prosecute the Epstein stuff. We know that the Trump administration is deep in the swamp. But on the issue of the 2020 election being stolen, the evidence is overwhelming. And China, working with the CIA and others, and that's in the emails that have been released. We knew it back at the time. The FBI, the CIA, NSA, they all sat there and said, we're going to cover this up. We're going to block this. We're not going to let the public or Trump or anybody know. They knew before the election, during and after what happened. So it's about our right to vote. It's about the coup over this country.
Burn bags stuffed with damning 2020 fraud evidence hidden in safes and obscure offices point straight back to directives from the Obama administration, with figures like Brennan and Clapper orchestrating the suppression.
Barack Obama can now be summoned before a grand jury. He cannot take the Fifth Amendment because he has immunity from prosecution. He'll have to tell the truth. If he lies as a private citizen about what he did as president, he'll no longer have that immunity. And that is a trap that Obama is sitting potentially facing.
This wasn't incompetence, and it wasn't organic. It was a coordinated effort to protect a foreign adversary's gains while gaslighting the American people about the most secure election in history. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
Welcome to the program. Welcome to the War Room. Today is July 20th, 2026. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones. Got a real politics and war roundup for you today. I've got some really tragic news coming out of the Middle East that we'll react to with Joe Kent here in the second hour. Before we do that, before we get into it, I want to remind you all, please share today's show. Today's show is very important. We have a lot to cover, a lot to get into. Two Americans, possibly three, are now dead. So without further ado, I want to cover that. Let's go to the first thing in the rundown article. CENTCOM ends weekend waves of strikes against Iran. So the MOU is dead. We all know this. Kuwait is being blown up. Bahrain is being blown up. Bandar Abbas and Iran is being blown up in preparation for ground invasion, shaping operation. We're going to be covering that both here in the first and second hour of the show. It is just a truly disturbing place to be when you look even a month back at the MOU and where we thought we were at. When Trump signed that document, of course, now we understand that was a ploy, a trick to try to fool the markets and refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And, you know, you just can't cheat Father Time. And the real price, not the economy, not the gas, not the fuel, not the food, not the diesel. That's not what's really important. What's really important are the dead Americans, right? Because that's the real casualty of these wars. Right. It leads to dead Americans that die of homelessness that are veterans, leads to dead Americans that die directly overseas, leads to Americans that die from complications when they come home. Look at the Vietnamese veterans with all the Agent Orange exposure and all of that. I have family personally related that went through that. Look at this. CENTCOM ends weekend wave of strikes against Iran. U.S. Central Command successfully completed, this is them saying, and I don't believe that, the ninth consecutive evening of strikes against Iran, July 19th at 10 p.m. Eastern. CENTCOM assets targeted Iranian military command centers, air defense and coastal surveillance sites, maritime capabilities, missile and drone launch sites, and communications networks to further diminish Iran's ability to attack commercial vessels and civilian mariners transiting the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. military is holding Iran accountable. That's what we say. In reality, we're the nation that violated the MOU and then went total war again. Accountable at the commander-in-chief's direction, CENTCOM forces remain highly vigilant, focused, lethal, and ready. Yeah, we know that's not true because they're running out of missiles. Here's the thing. You can talk all tough about what we can do, and it's true. We can spend infinite amount of money. You know, I think it's like 2.2, 2.5. I think my dad covered it earlier on the show. $1 billion a day. It makes Venezuela look like a, I don't know, like a playground in comparison. You can look at the monetary costs and say, sure, we can fart that out forever. But we can't fart the missiles out forever. We're almost out of them. They're almost all gone, especially when you look at the interceptors. The idea of missile defense, the idea of shooting a bullet into the sky to knock another bullet out of the sky is already sci-fi fantasy crazy, right? The best systems are never going to be even highly effective, but they are supposed to work in theory. Now, what we are seeing from all these modern conflicts, whether it's the Russians, whether it's us, whether it's the Chinese, and the Chinese have plenty of their systems deployed in Iran, the missiles are great. Our missiles work, the JASSM, the PRISM, the ATACMS, the Russian missiles work, the Chinese missiles work, but the air defense is really bad on all fronts because, of course, why wouldn't it be? It's a very hard thing to do, shooting a missile out of the air, obviously. But we in the West act like we have a fairy godmother
who farts out rainbows or something and just blocks these missiles down. That's what we consider the HIMARS to be, or the Patriot battery to be, I guess. And that's just not how the world works. Think about this in any respect, right? It's like playing a game where you drive a car, like in a video game. That's not reality. That's not real physics. But, you know, I guess it kind of looks real. So maybe if you're raised on a video game like Fortnite or something, you think you can drive and fly off a cliff and be okay. And we obviously know that's not the case. But we didn't have the practical experience to tell us that because we had not fought a modern 21st century war. We have been observing and helping and propping up Ukraine to do that against Russia. And we thought we had learned something from that. But look at the Iranians and look at how they've been able to B-word us around with just the missiles and the drones. And Trump comes out there and says, oh, the military is obliterated. How many times have we heard this? How many times has UNC capped this month alone? Right? They're obliterated. It's gone. Look at that. Big, beautiful missiles. I go, wow. I blew him up because he said I was in the Epstein files. Uh-oh. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Here's the thing. You can do infinite promo reels on Fox News of explosion montages. Eventually, the explosions are going to run out. And what did they achieve? Nothing, because the strait is still closed and they just hit another ship like an hour ago. I've got that in the rundown as well. But let's just go ahead and get into the tragedy really quick, because we're going to be revisiting this in the second segment with Joe Kent. Of course, extremely decorated military veteran. He's been everywhere in the Middle East. Eighth director of the National Counterterrorism Center. We'll be interviewing him, but I want to go to this. The U.S. Department of War has announced the name of the two American soldiers killed during Operation Inherent Resolve. Because it's always got to have a name, right? Isn't that cool? Operation We Killed Your Kid. Maybe that'd be a better name, right? Maybe that'd be more accurate. Let's go ahead and get that up. Operation We Murdered Your Child for Israel. Which is like on the record what Marco Rubio said. I'll quote it for you. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So, of course, we had to strike. It's only going to be 24 hours. I'm paraphrasing the end, but it's very clear and it's on tape multiple times. I will show you that as well. Operation Your Sons and Daughters Died for Israel. Let's go ahead and get this up here. Is that being displayed? Yeah. Damn, brother. That's our brother right there. And that girl. Okay. That's our brother right there. And that girl is our sister that we're about to display up on the screen. And, you know, just because it's thousands of miles away, Americans have this complex where we just ignore these conflicts or say, it is what it is. These are people that are never going home. Isabella Gonzalez was 19 years old. She's 19 years old. She could have had another 70 years on the planet. Some rich, fat boomer in Daytona Beach that voted for her to go die, or still supports her going to go die or whatever. He's got 5 years left on the planet. He's got his whore. He's got his money. He's got his yacht. He's chilling. He's good. He loves genocide. He may even be Jewish. May even be Epstein, right? But that little girl ain't going home ever again. Operation We Killed Your Kid. Operation Inherent Resolve. I like to spit in Pete Hegseth's face. Disgusting. So go ahead and show her. Let's take a look at that. Anyone in the audience support this war? And maybe you don't like her because she's brown, right? Maybe it's all about the white people. Let's go ahead and show the other guy. Let's go ahead and show him, please. This applies to everyone in the country. Male, female, black, white, Hispanic, young, old. It doesn't matter. They will draft you and you will go die for Israel. You will go die for the Greater Israel Project. Let's go ahead and get him up there. James Feenan, 25, of Iwo Beach, Hawaii, was killed in action on July 18th, 2026. And Private Isabella Gonzalez, or First Lieutenant Tyler James Feenan, excuse me, and Private Isabella Gonzalez, 19, of Carrollton, Texas, see, a Texan murdered, was murdered in action on July 17th, 2026 during an enemy attack at Muflaf Salty Air Base in Jordan. The incident is under investigation. Oh, you know why I say murdered and not killed? Because old Petey Hegseth and old DJT, Unc and Nephew, the grotesque Unc and Nephew show, minstrel show, they put them in a base that had no air defense and launched missiles from the same area. What do you think is going to happen? Missiles or planes, excuse me. But it's a 2+2 type scenario. Look at that. That's the moment of their death on video. On video. And you will still get the chudlets out there, like the quartering, Steven Crowder and others, that will defend this war. Unbelievable. Unconscionable. Let's just go ahead and show, I want to contrast that. Let's go ahead and play clip two. Let's see what Mark Levin has to say about that.
The ideology of the Iranian Islamist regime is based on the belief that Allah compels the annihilation of the West and that dying in service of Allah is martyrdom.
What a pig.
Mutual assured destruction is not a deterrence. So how do we eliminate the regime? Well, there's some things we haven't tried for some reason.
Hezbollah.
First, rather than pushing away Israel, we didn't push away Thatcher. We didn't push away Churchill. Rather than pushing away Israel and Netanyahu, we should embrace their military.
Pause it.
We should embrace their...
All right, well, Tyler and Sarah Gonzalez, they embraced missiles, you know, that we ate on behalf of Israel in a war that we are fighting for Israel to establish the Greater Israel Project. So you want to point at the idea of martyrdom and call it crazy, call it insane when the Iranians martyr themselves to defend their nation. You want us to martyr ourselves to defend a foreign nation. You want us to embrace that nation. That sounds like the language of Section 224, now Section 219. They sneaky, sneaky changed the name. They're known for that, the Brazilians. They say, oh, we're going to be in ascendancy in all aspects of your military. Isn't that a nice wording, right? Because it's very broad. In legalese, you can encompass everything within that. What a pig. Go back to him. Hold on really quick.
Hamas and Hezbollah. You know, my name's Mark Levin. I'm a real piece of work. I'm a real bastard.
Go ahead and play him.
Region, as we did early in this war, regardless of what the Arab states and Turkey and Pakistan think or what they want.
Pause it.
It is in our...
Turkey is the largest military in Europe, largest military in NATO besides us, and Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Israel's a nation of 9 million people. Shut up. Go back to your corner. Seriously, play the rest of it out.
Security interest to end the Iranian regime as fast as we can. Period. Just as Reagan worked with Thatcher, we must continue to work with Netanyahu.
Pause it.
All right, he is
a string, but go back to him really quick. We got to look at the pin. Go back to the clip. We have to see it. We have to look at his pretty little pin because it looks like it's been bronzed. It's metallic now. Look at that. It's shinier than usual, is it not? That's like a magician's trick or something. It works. That's like a carny technique. To keep people's attention. Dude, he's got like a set where they're all, you know, like a half inch smaller, half inch bigger. This one's gold. This one's bronze. This one's silver. This one's bedazzled. This one's plain, matte, glossy, whatever. Dude, he's kind of sneaky, sneaky like that. All right. Let's go to the next thing here. I've got clip number three, which is him again, Levin insane gaslighting. Think about this. Now think about the dead people in our military.
Those who are out there saying Israel's all by itself, it's isolated, that they want forever wars. These are horrible, horrible slanders and libels against that country and our own.
Bro, Netanyahu's been going to the UN for like 37 years trying to get forever wars. What are you talking about? The whole nature of Greater Israel. Let's count it up right here, and I'm sure I'll miss some, okay? So they get parts of Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq. I think maybe Iran too. Maybe, I don't know where Sudan is, whatever. But like the whole thing is literally a forever war of territorial expansion and colonialism. Just keep playing. I'm sorry. I keep pausing Unk, but he's disgusting. Keep playing him.
7 million of whom are Jewish, surrounded by a quarter of a billion individuals, many of whom want to destroy them. This type of propaganda is, to me, utterly unacceptable.
Oh, man. Mark Levin, it's kind of ironic because he can't eat bacon, but he's a pig. Absolutely. Let's go to clip number four in context. Rubio tells the truth. Now, this is a clip where Marco Rubio is coming out clarifying or attempting to clarify what he either said it on March 1st or March 2nd, the thing I reference all the time, Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation, so we had to join in, blah, 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 blah. He tries to make it sound better here, only to make it sound worse. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
The United States conducted this operation with a fair, clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of...
Okay. So keep in mind, the goal was initially regime change and then to wipe out the supreme leader. That goal only changed after the Iranians closed the strait in response to our war of aggression. Keep playing it.
That's the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bared to be true, because in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact,
Okay. So the country that gets attacked launches missiles in retaliation. So it sounds like they didn't start the fight. It sounds like we started the fight alongside Israel because Israel wanted us to. Keep playing it.
The assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about
Pause
why
it.
We knew that.
All right, he's a good lawyer. That's a lot of legalese there. We knew there was going to be an Israeli action, okay? Another country took us to war. We knew there was going to be this foreign military operation from a nation that on paper is supposed to be our junior partner, and we tucked our tail between our legs, and we let them screw us. That's what happened. That's what went on. Rubio says it right there again. And that's him trying to clear up what he said earlier, making it sound even worse. So it's all out there in front of you, in front of your face. I know that you probably know this if you're watching, but if you don't, or if you're not convinced, we're going to go over a lot more today. But just go ahead and throw the dead soldiers up there again. All right? Go ahead and throw them up there again, please. I want you, if you are somebody that is pro-war, if you're somebody that watches this and thinks that, oh, I'm a wimp and whatever, and we got to go kill the Muslims, blah, blah, blah. I want you to go enlist, and I want you to go join the military right now. I'm not even asking you to fight. What I want you to do is, because there's probably a lot of military members that have to go inform the families of the people that have been killed in action, right, or wounded in action. Do you want to go be a door knocker for the deceased? Because it doesn't bother you. You support the war. Go tell the mothers, the fathers, the friends, the siblings, the relatives of the people that are now dead. Go tell them they died for your Greater Israel project. And go tell them how amazing it's going to be when you rebuild the Third Temple. Because that's what our Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War cares about. He cares about building the Third Temple. He's on video talking about it 10 years ago. Maybe he should go door knock and let the let the families of the murdered know that they died for a worthy cause, keeping Netanyahu out of prison. He doesn't deserve to go. He's too powerful. He's bringing back the Messiah and stuff. How much more are we going to do? How much more do I have to say before you puke in your mouth and throw up all over your driveway? How much? Because I know there are people out there that support this. And to those people, like, do you want to go fight and die over there? Or will you go tell the families of the dead people that they died for a worthy cause? Yeah, go tell them that. Hey, because I had people over the weekend telling me, you're civilian, they signed up for it. They signed up for the peace president. They signed up for the peace president who said no more neocon wars in the Middle East. Well, that's tough. He's a commander. They got to do whatever he tells them to do. All right, man. Heil Hitler, I guess, too, right? That's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and get into the next thing here. Look at that. We got the big Yahoo creeping up on me on the side. Yemenis to close strait. Now look at that. Greater Israel Project, 100%. Look at that demon again. Go ahead and throw him up.
Well, I think it's great that you give me $3 billion a year, because I use that money to buy American munitions. But soon I won't need your money anymore, because I'm going to marry you and I'm going to rape you every night. I'm Benjamin Netanyahu. Heil Netanyahu.
Heil! The Führer! The Führer will have the Fourth Reich! We shall take all of Greater Israel and kill all the Arabs! Heil!
I mean, he's literally Hitler. Like, he's worse. He's worse than Hitler, in my approximation. Because what he wants to do is kill 9 billion people. He wants to kill everybody on the planet. They got something called the Samson option. I'll tell you what, Netanyahu has nukes. Hitler didn't have nukes. Pretty wild to think about that, isn't it? So let's get back into the discussion on the Iranian nuclear weapon, which is the Iranian economic nuclear weapon, which the Houthis also share, which is the closing of either the Strait of Hormuz or the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. Let's go ahead and get into that. Yemenis to close strait. This is a huge deal. This is essentially a widowmaker heart attack for the entire nation, right? For not the entire nation, the entire world, excuse me, for global trade. It's over if they do this for real. So we're going ahead. We're going to go ahead and get into that. This is something that's been rumored for a while. The Saudis were going to attack and they backed off, but now they're going to do it again. First, and this is from Yemen. First, this is their statement. First, the Yemeni armed forces declare a maritime embargo against the criminal Saudi enemy based on the equation of an eye for an eye, effective immediately upon the issuance of this statement. Second, we affirm the right of our great people to respond to the blockade with the blockade and to respond to all escalation with all escalation, thus solidifying this equation. Third, the Yemeni armed forces affirm their complete readiness for all options, and any foolish act committed by the reckless Saudi enemy through all escalation we met with a comprehensive and decisive escalation by Allah's will and power. Fourth, we call upon the people of our great nation to continue the general mobilization and general call to arms and to be fully prepared for all scenarios and developments and to support the fronts with fighters. So they're getting ready for full and total war. Fifth, we extend our greetings with pride and reverence to the great Yemeni people who turned out an unprecedented million-man march of warning and mobilization. We assure them that we will spare no effort in restoring their plundered rights and ending the unjust siege imposed upon them, whatever the consequences and repercussions. Relying on Allah and placing our trust in him. Breaking, Houthis of Yemen announce a maritime embargo against Saudi Arabia, effective immediately. Saudi Arabia has until now exported 4.5 million barrels a day from the Yanbu in the Red Sea, most of it heading south throughout the Bab al-Mandeb Strait between Yemen and Djibouti, Eritrea, or however you say that. Don't know how to say that one for sure. That's a bit of a tongue twister there. You win a gold star if you can figure out how to pronounce that one correctly. So, to give you a framework, just the idea of fighting these people and why it's so insane, look at the Iranians in the Iraq-Iran war. Almost a million people died collectively. I think it's 400,000 Iranians died. They had their children, and they wrap headbands around their children that are keys to heaven, keys to Allah, and they sent them walking through minefields. Please, tell me how we're going to bomb these people and beat them. Tell me how we're going to do ground invasion. Tell me how Jeremy and Daquan, who play Fortnite and smoke weed on base or whatever, tell me how they're going to be able to defeat the kids with keys to heaven on their heads walking through minefields. Please, make that make sense to me. You know, or maybe if you're an older gentleman or lady that supports the war, maybe you should go get in your wheelchair and roll over there yourself and go fight. Okay? So we're going to do a banger interview here in the second hour. You want to stay tuned. You want to repost, share the live link, share the feed. You want to go to thealexjonesstore.com. This is the last day to get the incredible Irish CMOS discounted. You want to get that sale, that deal, that offer. I am like, bigly, please let me sell more water filters. Let me sell more shower heads. We have the best, the highest quality we always have over the decades, over the years. You need water filtration. You need Patriot apparel. You need more supplements. Get them for your loved one. Excellent gift. Get it for your husband. Excellent gift. Get it for your wife. Excellent gift. 30% off limited time offer. 50% off limited time offer. Everything and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter shower head. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure. And you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine. And then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever. In my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexshowstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. $30 a month, instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexshowstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Shout out to Bruce Falconer, definitely one of the realest YNs to ever live, wrote probably the greatest YN soundtrack of all time. That would be the Funimation or Funimation DBZ dub. We love it. I love doing the music on the shows. We're getting back into it now. I've got a real greasy horror show for you. Y'all know I'm not too fond of President Trump. You know, it's kind of like Syndrome in The Incredibles when he tears the poster down of Mr. Incredible. That's kind of how I feel about him. But we're going to go ahead and get into all of it. Let's go ahead and roll clip six. Trump talks about the dead soldiers.
Well, we feel very badly, but, you know, those great people, those great patriots were out there fighting that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Iran has been very, very badly damaged. They've lost everything almost militarily. They've got very little left. They've got some missiles. They've got some drones. They've got some manufacturing ability, not much.
Pause it. All right, so everything was obliterated. It was all over. The Navy's at the bottom of the ocean. They don't have any planes. What are they going to do? LOL, we won. Complete victory. Right? How many times we hear that? Like 50? 100, maybe? 150? So now it's all, they got some, oh, they're able to do X, Y, Z. He can't keep doing this forever. Eventually, when trust falls, it's not a gradual process. It falls straight out of the sky. So, like, literally, you're going to wake up one day and Groundhog Day is going to be over. Keep playing it.
We control the strait. They don't control anything. So we'll see what happens. But we hit them very hard again tonight. And we did that in honor of the probably three. It's probably three as opposed to two. Great patriots.
That's nice. That reminds me of Lindsey Graham. Shout out to the Fallen. Well, if you really cared about him and considered him patriots, you wouldn't put him in missile and bases we had no missile defense for. Right? And just think about the prospect of that. These people, if they're involved in military operations, it's logistical, it's strategic. Maybe they're helping launch things. Maybe they're doing whatever. But this is not, you know, ground invasion, boots on the ground. The way you think about it, these are people in these host nations that have our military bases there. They're sitting ducks. They're literally just on base waiting to be killed. Like, I had friends that were about to go over there, and I think they got rotated out of it or something happened. They didn't end up going. But they're like, yeah, I'm cooked. It's over. That must be a raw deal, right? Especially when you sign up under the peace president, right? That's a bit grotesque. Go to clip 7. I got one more Levin to show you real quick.
The ideology of the Iranian...
Oh, pause it. All right, I guess I double troubled myself with Levin. Let's go ahead and get rid of that. I definitely don't want to look at that. Let's go ahead and to tag on to what Trump is saying here, go to clip 9. This is Maria Bartiromo, who I used to like on Fox News, but here's the thing. Pay me $300,000 every 3 months and have me be a Fox News host or have me run Fox News. I'm infinitely more qualified than somebody that's completely geopolitically aware and thinks that we obliterated Iran. Keep, play it. Clip number 9.
You know, CENTCOM says that there will be outsized action in retaliation, but I don't understand how it's possible that Iran has the capabilities to fight this way and continue to try to lash out at Gulf countries and U.S. military bases, because the U.S. has obliterated Iran's military.
Oh, my gosh.
And the president continues to reiterate that.
Well, she got one thing right.
And if you look at the...
She got one thing right. The president continues to reiterate it. That's why it's sympathetic magic. That's why it's evil. That's why it's demonic. It's not true, but he's made it your reality. And this is the thing. Like, some people are just racist or whatever, and they say, hey, that person's 500 pounds eating Kool-Aid pineapple. I don't want them to vote. I have that reaction about this. This is a person that votes. This is a person that votes for politicians that want to draft my ass. Seriously. And spoiler alert, shout out to Mexico. Like, I'm going there. You will not kill me in a war for Bibi Netanyahu, lady. Oh, she doesn't know. She's ignorant. She wants to kill me out of ignorance. She wants to kill all of us out of ignorance. She wants to have World War III, nuclear war out of ignorance. All of them do. The entire political elite class. It doesn't matter if they're sleepwalking or they're awake. They're sick. They're sick and they're driving the vehicle and we're tied up in the back with like a paperclip to get us out of these bonds. And maybe we can do it. Maybe we can saw through in time. But man, dude, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'd say the road to hell is paved with ignorance. That's what it's paved with, right? You could say good intentions, ignorance, maybe the same thing. How can you believe, Maria, how can you believe that it's better for the Iranian people to genocide them and kill their Pope and threaten to nuke them than it is for them to be left alone? How do you think it's better to send me off to go die in a war that I'm not going to consent to, say, oh, that's not going to happen. Look at Vietnam. Huh? Looks like we're circling the toilet bowl, right? All over again. War in French Indochina. Huh? War in the Middle East, West Asia. Dude, I don't want to die. I want to be with like the baddest biddies on earth. I'm not going to go get murdered for Netanyahu, for Smotrich, for Ben-Gavir. Are you kidding me? It's outrageous. I'm 23 years old. I've gone bald from all the stress you've put me through. I'm not doing this. I refuse. We're going to have good lives as young Americans. We're going to achieve. We're going to build a future. We're going to crawl out of the pit that old boomers like this. Sorry for the audience, but a lot of them. Here, just throw up there again. Okay? Because it's a spiritual thing. She could be 20 years old. I've seen 25-year-olds that have the same exact opinions, right? It is the neocon spirit of thinking you can get away with murder just because you don't understand it's wrong, right? And that's a level of ignorance that I would call willful, ladies and gentlemen. So let's try not to do that. Let's try not to have willful ignorance about murder. Pretty good place to start, right? Okay, I'm getting a little upset. I'm going to get even more mad. I'm going to channel the anger. Go ahead and play clip 10. This is Trump lying about the war crime where we killed 165 little girls, blew up the school. Go ahead and play this.
Please go ahead.
Mr. President, you just suggested that Iran somehow got its hands on a Tomahawk and bombed its own elementary school on the first day of the war. But you're the only person in your government saying this. Even your defense secretary wouldn't say that when he was asked, standing over your shoulder on your plane on Saturday. Why are you the only person saying this?
Because I just don't know enough about it. I think it's something that I was told is under investigation. But Tomahawks are used by others, as you know. Numerous other nations have Tomahawks. They buy them from us. But
all
I
right,
will
pause
certainly
it.
Whatever.
Liar, liar, hair on fire. Four other nations buy Tomahawks from us or have in the past. France, UK, Germany, Japan. Notice how the Middle East isn't on that list. Not even Israel's on that list. And I'm just going to go back. I also have it here in the rundown. I want to save it for maybe during or after the Joe Kent interview. I have them like 4 months ago or 3 months ago talking about the exact same incident. And Trump goes, we think it was Iran, but they're very imprecise with their munitions. And Hegseth goes, the only side that targets civilians is Iran. So you have it? All right, let's go ahead and go to clip 11, Trump on tape, 4 month flashback. Now, I think this is, hold on, this is a longer clip. So there's a portion at the beginning that I also wanted to show later, which relates to Russia. Just go to the portion where Trump and Pete Hegseth are standing next to each other. And I can intro it for a little while longer. It's just like, I will retweet this. It's a YouTube video. I have it downloaded. It's like 6 minutes long or whatever. I will retweet it. I encourage everyone to go to my profile, Rex Jones News, and to watch it. Okay? Watch it, because the context is all there. They've been lying to you on tape for almost half a year now. And they want you to feel like the war started 2 days ago. That's also a part of the magic. The evil, evil, evil sympathetic magic. Go ahead and play it.
But the only side that targets civilians is Iran.
We think it was done by Iran.
Pause it. All right, just go back, freeze frame kind of to the beginning of where they were at. Where they start to answer that question, they're lying. They know they're lying. Look at their faces. Search your
feelings. You know it to be true.
Just go ahead and play a little bit of it. They're facing the camera. Here. Pause it. Those MIGAs know they're lying. That MIGA capping for real. On jaw. He knows he's not telling the truth. Look at the guilt in Trump's eyes. Look at the idiocy in Hegseth's head. That thing's like a walnut. It's empty, basically. But Trump knows better. Trump's like, hey, I ran on the peace president thing. I ran on no new wars, and I'm being used as a golem to build greater Israel. And I killed those children. And he did, just like he killed the two American service members that he sentenced to die in bases that had no air defense. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. Reporter, you just suggested that Iran somehow got its hands on a Tomahawk and bombed its own elementary school on the first day of the war. But you're the only person in your government saying this. Even your defense secretary wouldn't say this that when he was asked, standing over your shoulder on the plane on Saturday. Were you the only one saying this? President Trump says, because I just didn't know enough about it. I think it's something that I was told is under investigation. All right, just hold on. Just stop the scroll for a second. I know you're just scrolling on there, but like, it's under investigation. There are missiles. It's like, oh, like I shot somebody and killed them. I wonder what the ballistics are going to say about who did the crime. You know, it's certainly not going to match the only gun in the world that fires the bullet. Now, would it? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how I can explain it on a third grade level? And that's because the best propaganda is the truth and I'm telling you the truth versus they have to string together like 12 weeks of lies and obfuscation. And their whole goal is to make you forget where they started the argument. It's very, very, very simple. They didn't blow up their own school. They didn't kill 165 of their own school children and elementary school teachers, right? So somebody did, and that was us. And you can say it was accidental, which is what I believe. You can say it's on purpose, which is morbid, but there is reason to believe that. Even though I don't believe that personally, it's not outside the realm of possibility. We are not in Kansas anymore with any of this stuff. We have learned the most evil military techniques of the IDF and of the Mossad, and we have employed them for our own usage. But it's not our own usage because just like the evil techniques themselves, they are only done in service of Israel. Let me go ahead and read this. This is from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. We know that they are lying. They know that that they are lying, and even know that we know they are lying. We also know that they know we know that they are lying too. They, of course, know that we certainly know they know we know that they are lying too as well, but they are still lying. In our country, the lie has not just become the moral category, but the pillar industry of this country. Beautiful, beautifully morbid, and absolutely true. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 12. Oh, the war would be 4 or 5 weeks. You remember when they said the war would be 1 to 2 days? You know, 24 to 48 hours. You know, we're just going to do a little regime change operation. And then they pulled the Men in Black thing out, and they zapped your ass, and they made that thought leave your head. Let's go ahead and play clip number 12 there.
Someone around us, Mr. President, said at the start of the war it would be 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, you keep hitting me. This is a far bigger job that we're doing. We were doing a little job of stopping them from having a certain capability. Now we're just ending it. So it's really not the same thing.
Pause
what
we're doing now is all right, so it's to stop them from having a capability, but it's also to end it. What are you ending? You're not ending their ballistic missile program. You're not ending their control over the strait. You're not ending the regime. What are you ending? You're just dropping more bombs because you can't win. Keep playing it.
Where they could have a nuclear missile. If you look at it, after a week and a half, not 4 weeks, a week and a half, 2 weeks, we stopped them from probably, but I don't want to have the word probably. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I don't want to have the word probably. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. If its and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a wonderful Christmas, now would we? Of course, that's not reality. Okay, go ahead and go to clip number 13. Every base the U.S. could fall back on is already a target. That's 3 minutes. I think that's Larry Johnson.
The U.S. warned Israel that they're worried, or there's a possibility that Iran would do what you said they would do, and that is strike Israel. Because obviously we've seen all the aircraft, the American aircraft, for obvious reasons, because all the Gulf is getting struck on a daily basis. They're moving a significant amount of them to Israel. And they see, this is interesting, because the Americans see Israel as a place that is safe for their aircraft, because they're betting on the fact that Iran won't strike it. And then obviously Iran may escalate and strike that. The same way they were betting on Iran not striking desalination plants, and Iran did that in the last couple of days.
Well, I wouldn't take that bet. Iran will be attacking Israeli military bases that are hosting U.S. combat aircraft, particularly if the United States increases its attacks on Iran, which they're threatening to do. This is the whole diplomatic effort that's taking place behind the scenes with Pakistan, China, Russia. It's fallen apart. I think Mustafa, my understanding is Mustafa Khamenei has said, you know, we're not returning to the MOU, not in its current form. If we go back, there's going to have to be some major concessions by the United States up front. And at this point, Trump's not willing to make those concessions. He's still indulging his military fantasy that he can bring Iran to their knees and have them begging for mercy. But as we've seen, you know, United States right now is starting to drive U.S. aircraft out of Jordan. So it's, you got to say, where can they base their aircraft that the aircraft will be safe? Prince Saud Air Base in Saudi Arabia? No. Al Dhafra in UAE? No. Al Udeid? No. Al Isa, Bahrain? Oh, absolutely not. Ali Salman up in Kuwait? No. So it's not like U.S. has a variety of alternatives they can fall back on. So now they fall back into Israel. And notice, even Israel now, I think, they recognize that the accuracy of the Iranian missiles has dramatically increased, thanks in large measure to the Chinese Beidou system. And that's why they were pressing to get your planes out of Ben Gurion. You know, because Ben Gurion's really Israel's only link to the outside world as far as civilian passenger aircraft goes. So, and I think all this writing and reaction you're seeing in the Israeli press, what does that tell you? That they're calm and confident? Oh, yeah, we got this in hand? Or are they sort of, you know, nervous in the service? I would suggest it's the latter.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like a smart move for the Israelis to let us park the KC-135s. They know Iran is going to blow up like they've already blown several up in the Ben-Gurion airport, right? That doesn't seem intelligent for them to do. Of course, they're probably going to get involved in the war again, and that's what we're up against, and that's where we are. I want to go to this tweet from President Trump, And I'm going to ask Joe Ken about this, about proportionality. That's going to be a large part of our interview here. This is from Trump. I'll just read it for you. You guys have it up on that other TV there. Got like five TVs in here. Every time Iran kills an American soldier, they will pay for that killing many times over. This directive has been passed on to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff Daniel Kane, and every leader in the military, President Donald J. Trump. Now, Joe got some flack on Twitter over the weekend because he said, we're going to have to retaliate for this because they killed more people. And now we got to get out. I want to ask him about that. I want to ask him about proportionality, just about military experience in general, because a lot of people had problems with that remark. I view it more from a perspective of, I'm a civilian. I'm not a military man. He joined the military when he was 17 years old. So I imagine you have a different perspective if you fought and bled and died over there. And there's also things politically that I'm sure that we don't agree on. So that's going to be a fascinating question and a fascinating interview. And I just can't wait to ask him how he feels, of course, about being vindicated on pretty much all counts of this. And we're going to go over the resignation letter again, because we have to reiterate, like, this is literally like G.I. Joe. This is like the American story. This is literally an American hero. And he's somebody that on principle, on moral value, could not stand with this administration after it betrayed our values that we voted for. So I'm going to ask him all those questions and more. I do want to plug really quick, because I will be beaten with the belt if I am not. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. I want you to get the best water filtration in the entire world. I am so excited to be selling water filtration again. I am but a humble water filter merchant. I always have been. I used to tell people that when I was like 10 years old, 8 years old, whatever. I was doing ads when I was like 12, 13, you name it. I am so happy now that we have a very high quality system available for you, not just for your drinking water, but also for your shower head. This is so important. This is so critical. I am somebody, and this is like the only allergy that I have, the only one, because I'm unvaccinated, total Chad male for that, unvaccinated. But when it comes to chlorine and chlorine irritation, I can occasionally, especially if I'm in a pool or something like that for a prolonged period of time, I can get a little breakout, a little rash, a little eczema. Stuff like a high-quality shower head, I'm not saying it's going to attenuate any of that stuff, but for me personally, in my anecdotal experience, products like this have made my quality of life better, and I am so happy that we have this available for you. And what's the price on that, guys? What's the price on that? Look at that. Look at that tank. That's a beautiful tank system right there. Absolutely beautiful. You've all seen the Bigly ads. You know it. You love it. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Shower Head. Filter out water and make sure it's good for you, or better for you. You want to get the best water filtration. You want to get the best clothing, Patriot apparel. I got to get that, it's got like America on it. It's like the letters kind of look like GTA. I need one of those. Or go to the clothing really quick. Let's look at the store. Let's look at what I'm going to buy, because it's time for me to re-up on merch. Can we click on apparel really quick? I'm just curious, guys. Look at that. The new wife beaters, tank tops, you name it. That's amazing. Sun's out, guns out. Look at that. Don't spy on me. America 76. Talk about G.I. Joe style right there. We've got Rebel Scab. We've got, of course, the Nixon line. I've got the Tricky Dick shirt. I wore that. A girl complimented me on it. Not sure she knew what it meant, but I did wear it. We've got the Iron Cross collection. Make Orwell fiction again. We've got Jesus Saves. We got Shut Up Hippie Richard Nixon. I like that one, too. It's very Cartman style. Defund the Deep State. I like that 1776 one. That's a classic InfoWars design. Redone, of course, Alex Jones Network design now, I should say. You want the highest. There it is, the Tricky Dick shirt. That's what I recommend. Go buy, be like Rex Jones, buy the Tricky Dick Elephant Premium T-shirt from thealexjonesstore.com. Man, that Gates of Hell Parasite shirt, we say wearing the shirts is an adventure. That's an adventure. Wear that to your PTA meeting. That is your, those are your orders for today. Wear that shirt to your PTA meeting. At me on social media. I'll give you a ridiculous discount code so you save on your next order. So that's a little challenge. But we got Joe Kent coming on. Third hour, I'm going to take calls. Going to do Ukraine war roundup. We got insane. They call them in Ukraine long-range sanctions. That's a cute way of saying mass terrorism. Attacks on Russia, which, of course, is a nuclear armed power. And, of course, that's a NATO proxy war. We're at war with Russia through that. We're going to talk about Matt Bracken's prognosis on the energy war, which is super important. He breaks it down how along essentially a 500-kilometer front, or even longer, I'll throw up the graphic here in the next hour, the world is at total war already, and we're rapidly accelerating towards really just a complete collapse, not even a controlled collapse. And we're going to be back soon. I've got so much here, I don't know what to get started with. But I do want to plug myself also personally as well. If you want to see more of me, if you want to follow me, I'm Rex Jones News with a Z on X. Also on Instagram, really need to build the Instagram. That's Rex Jones News with a Z. I'm also on Rumble, New American Journal, and Gray Area Talks. New American Journal, if you guys used to watch the journal, I do a live morning show 5 days a week. I was live for 3 hours this morning. And now I'm here again doing the two-a-days, getting the experience, getting the reps in. But Truism Tim Tompkins in the evening, Anthony Graffio in the morning. Two amazing, phenomenal shows. My own little independent media network, and I really do love doing it for you guys. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 14 really quick. Something in the skies of the Middle East does not add up. What could this be?
Another example of a non-nuclear state attacking a nuclear power, Russia. What did Russia do? Now, it's arguable, I think it's a serious issue, had the Ukrainians threatened Crimea, I think you could, I would not have ruled out that Putin would have deployed a tactical battlefield nuclear weapon. I would not have ruled it out.
Jesus.
So the small powers for whom this is existential simply outlast the larger ones. And that's what we're seeing. 5 years now, well, fifth year of the war, Russia cannot break Ukraine. 5 months, Donald Trump cannot break Iran. The Israelis cannot break Hamas, and they have not succeeded in breaking Hezbollah. And there's an example of a smaller power, Israel, and non-state actors that they cannot subdue. So, I wish I could divine right now a pathway out of this. I just don't see one.
And the last thing I want to ask you about is, again, the desalination plants. Are you not concerned about it?
Of course. If the issue is to destroy water purification or available water that hundreds of thousands, millions of Iranians are not going to have access to potable water. I mean, that's a war crime. But if you ask me, I'm concerned about, yes, as a human, as an American, I'm concerned about.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Drawing from newly released intelligence, Trump laid bare how Beijing exploited vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure through hacking, data theft, and coordinated influence operations.
Documents show that during this period, dozens of significant CIA and NSA reports about China's election targeting were kept out of the presidential briefing. These were briefings I would get almost every day. Everything was kept out that was of importance. One email among intelligence analysts admitted that they had, quote, deliberately massaged the presidential daily briefing to withhold information regarding Chinese activities related to the election. Another official inside the FBI wrote that she was running, quote, a shadow government, unquote, to keep intelligence about China's election meddling from becoming known and to keep it away from the honorable press.
And what's interesting is the left saying, well, we were actually in control of those agencies at the time, but the problem we always have with the deep state, which is exactly what it is that when you come in and have politicals in charge, you have people who are career bureaucrats underneath who really cause, they have a lot of power to keep things from you and to do things they shouldn't do.
He connected the dots to the engineered chaos of 2020, where a virus from China conveniently locked down the country, eroded election integrity, and paved the way for stolen data to install a compliant puppet regime.
We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins. Once again, revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth.
NSA analysts openly admitted chopping up assessments and downgrading intelligence to bury links between Beijing's activities and the 2020 contest, even as the FBI under Director Wray drew an absolute red line against including dissenting views that China had indeed meddled.
And this was, Katie, like a massive effort, what they call a multi-domain operation. That means trade, it means diplomacy, it means open source information, it means social media. So all the levers of power China had to influence the U.S. election. So there was clear evidence of political and personal bias, and intelligence is supposed to be neutral. So what we heard tonight from the president is an allegation that this intelligence was suppressed in order to harm him, and now we're seeing documents already which back up those claims.
The other thing that we blocked yesterday was the SAVE Act, right, which was administration to rig our democracy so that it would be hard for any Democrat in any state to win any election.
There you have Senator Alyssa Slotkin, nominally from Michigan, but really channeling her CIA training, admitting that her party can't win if the U.S. adopts the kind of voter identification laws that most of the other civilized nations in the world use.
We know that the Justice Department's compromised. We know they don't prosecute the Epstein stuff. We know that the Trump administration is deep in the swamp. But on the issue of the 2020 election being stolen, the evidence is overwhelming. And China, working with the CIA and others, and that's in the emails that have been released. We knew it back at the time. The FBI, the CIA, NSA, they all sat there and said, we're going to cover this up. We're going to block this. We're not going to let the public or Trump or anybody know. They knew before the election, during and after what happened. So it's about our right to vote. It's about the coup over this country.
Burn bags stuffed with damning 2020 fraud evidence hidden in safes and obscure offices point straight back to directives from the Obama administration, with figures like Brennan and Clapper orchestrating the suppression.
Barack Obama can now be summoned before a grand jury. He cannot take the Fifth Amendment because he has immunity from prosecution. He'll have to tell the truth. If he lies as a private citizen about what he did as president. He'll no longer have that immunity. And that is a trap that Obama is sitting potentially facing.
This wasn't incompetence, and it wasn't organic. It was a coordinated effort to protect a foreign adversary's gains while gaslighting the American people about the most secure election in history. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now.
Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
This is exactly the type of thing that you want to be wrong about, right? When you make grave predictions, you hope that you're proven wrong, and you hope that the utopians, the people that kind of live in this dream fantasy world, you want them to be right. Because, hey, if it's over in 24 hours and it's this great military victory, even though I'm morally opposed to it because I'm very anti-war, you could see large aspects of the American populace supporting it purely from, you know, a resource-based calculation. However, it was very clear since even before the beginning of this whole retarded escapade, this would not work because we've done this multiple times over decades and decades and decades. And we've got somebody joining us very shortly, having some minor technical issues. It is what it is on our end. It's our fault, I think. Joe Kent will be joining me in under 5 minutes, probably, to talk about all this stuff and more. That's absolutely not our fault. All right, that's what Matt says. All right, but we're going to go ahead and get into it now. Let's just go ahead and roll this Daniel Davis deep dive clip. If we can go ahead and do that, that should be in the Kent section. I'll go ahead and get my bearings here a little bit, be honest with you guys. Let's go ahead and play that one, and that is clip number 25.
The Pentagon leaders, the uniforms, the secretary, they're all, but the president of the United States are mocking us. They're mocking us who wanted to do the right things for the right reasons in the right way. To only use military force when it was necessary for our national defense. And then we sought to defend the defenseless. We wanted to elevate and help out those who were too powerless to do anything else, to stand against tyranny and all that kind of stuff. Remember those things we used to say? A force for good. You remember that used to be the motto of the Navy, a force for good. And now look at us. Now we're an instrument of violence. Against and using it to kick little guys.
Yep.
The very people we used to want to lift up and to raise up and to help. Now we're kicking them.
Yep.
And we're throwing mud and dirt in the face of people like me who are still in the service. There's millions, hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, of people who still.
I'm pretty sure he's crying. And I don't want to attribute something to the man that he's not doing here. Don't mute it. Just pause it. It's making a mockery of our armed forces. It's making a mockery of the name of the U.S. And I agree. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. This is Daniel saying this. I don't know what we can do about this right now, but at the very least, I can do is make these types of videos so you're aware of the grotesque double standard, the hypocrisy, correct, and the absolute amorality of what our senior leaders are doing. And, all right, add the audio again.
Sure, I'm even wearing it right now. I proudly wear this flag. I've loved this country. I've loved what it stands for. I love the people of it. I put my life on the line through 4 combat deployments. Wouldn't hesitate to do it again if it was necessary for our security. But I will be damned if I'm going to give even verbal consent or even passive support to what we're doing now.
That's the key.
It is un-American.
Yes.
It is illegal. It is unethical. It is immoral.
Yes.
What they're doing to our country. And more people need to stand up and make their voice heard as well.
Yeah, we're literally being raped right now. Like, this is rape. They're killing our sons and daughters to build a third temple and establish a new colonial empire in the 21st century. That's called Greater Israel, not Iran. So, I wanted to wait until he was on to do this, but I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I want to read the letter. I want to read his resignation letter, and I'm going to ask him about portions of it because, like I said at the beginning of the segment, at the beginning of the hour, this is like the most painful stuff in the world to be vindicated on. Now, keep in mind, Joe was, I believe, the eighth director of the National Counterterrorism Center, which I believe is like, he was like the number two under Tulsi, I believe, or something to the equivalent. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And it's just pretty shocking how right he was about everything. President Trump, this is Joe Kent saying this, after much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Well, everyone knows that to be true, even more so proven to be vindicated now. I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on. I think that we all did. That's why I voted for him. That's why I pulled the cross out of my shirt the day that he was the assassination attempt happened and told people to vote for him. How stupid I feel now. On in 2016, 2020, 2024, when you enacted, which you enacted in your first term. Until June of 2025, you understood that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. I will point out that in October of 2025, he did the Middle East Peace Summit, the like gala bonanza thing, and literally said, to MBS, as MBS is like holding his heart or whatever, no more neocon wars in the Middle East. And now we are where we are. I'm going to keep reading it. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn into never-ending wars. You demonstrated this by killing Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. Now, we can talk about that for sure. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and the influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. Exactly. Those aren't your constituents. Your constituents are us, the American people. And you rejected us for people that live thousands of miles away. And you wonder why we're insulted? Seriously. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that should you strike now, there is a clear path to a swift victory. All the actuaries, all the projections, everyone with knowledge said there wasn't a path. But he was told by people that had a vested interest in us going to war for other reasons that there was. And look where we are. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot make this mistake again. And I got Joe joining me now. I want to go ahead and throw you up here as I read the last of this. Hope you don't mind. How are you doing?
Well, man, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, I wish we had good news to discuss, you know, one of these days. It's just, you know, another disappointment, another tragedy. But I'm going to keep reading this because I think it's important for people to understand. And what I kind of introed the hour with, I'm not sure if you were watching, was when we talk about this stuff, or when you specifically talk about this stuff as somebody with the experience, it's the most painful thing in the world to be vindicated, right? Like it's a thing almost that we don't want. The people that live in the delusional, like Narnia fantasy land, you know, it'd be real nice if we won in 24 hours. But of course, that was never possible, right? So I want to keep reading this. I just, to give the framework and the perspective to people, and this is you saying this, of course, not me, 23-year-old. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times as a Gold Star husband, who lost my beloved wife, Shannon, in a war manufactured by Israel. That's very strong language. I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people, nor justifies the cost of American lives. I pray that you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran and who we are doing it for. I think that's the important part. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further towards decline and chaos. You hold the cards. It was an honor to serve in your administration and to serve our great nation. Signed, your name, Joseph Kent. Joe, how does it feel to be here 4 months later or 5 months later? I forget how long it's been. And you've just been vindicated, and we're just begging for it to stop, man.
Well, look, I'm not a big fan of saying, well, you know, I called it X, Y, and Z. I would hope to have been wrong. I hope that we wouldn't be here back when I resigned in March. However, even back in March, I didn't see a clear way for us to get out unless, like that last paragraph says, the president takes some really bold and decisive action. And every day that goes on and every tragedy that we suffer taking more casualties, the harder it's going to be for the president to take that bold action. But at the same time, it's going to become more critical that he does so. I've been advocating, you know, since I resigned for him to leave immediately.
Right.
And I've been trying to do so even more in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours since we've tragically taken more casualties, and the Iranians have once again proven that they can probably make this much worse for us. I'm afraid that if the president continues to double down, which it sounds like he's doing, we are going to face a mass casualty event. We have been very, very lucky so far. There's been tragedy, but we still have been lucky. I think the Iranians have the ability to deal us a mass casualty event, and we need to get out before that happens. Otherwise, we're going to be sucked into this thing to the extent that the president won't be able to pull us out.
Wow, that's a pretty stark warning. What might a mass casualty event look like? Is that maybe hitting some of these air bases? I know we have the KC-135s at Ben Gurion Airport, among other things. What are some of the risk factors that you're keeping an eye on right now?
Really, just keep in mind that when we're in the Middle East and we're not on our home turf, the enemy only has to be lucky once, and we have to be lucky every day, every second of the day. And so we can disperse our troops. We can try and move them around. However, the Iranians have good intelligence. It's hard for us to move around some of the systems that we're trying to fight with without that being detected. And so basically, the Iranians have proven time and time again that through their ballistic missiles and through their drones, they can reach out and they can touch us. I am very concerned that President Trump's going to be tempted to do something more decisive and more aggressive to open the Straits of Hormuz as the noose tightens on our economic crisis and energy crisis here,
right,
in terms of potentially him putting boots on the ground. But I am also concerned, you know, about our naval forces. Just think about it. Like, you can look at a map and you can see how far away Iran is from Jordan. It is a pretty good distance. So with those ballistic missiles that they fired that penetrated the air defense of those bases on Jordan that killed our soldiers, there's no reason why they couldn't, if they wanted to, use those same capabilities to take down some of our ships. And again, we have a lot of capabilities to defend against that. But again, that goes back to that same math. The longer that we stay, the more opportunity that we are giving the Iranians to inflict a mass casualty event on us. So
we
are basically just handing the enemy options by leaving our forces there.
Yeah. And it's basically just this insane idea of, why are we fighting this stupid war? Why are we here in the first place? It's like you said, like literally months ago when we first started doing this, even before, declare victory and go home. What is preventing him from doing that in your approximation?
I mean, ultimately, that question is the question of at least this war, if not something much broader. For the life of me, I think the simplest answer right now is pride. President Trump does want he wants a piece of paper from the Iranians that says that he has a deal. He wants to say that he has a deal. He has decisively ended the war, and, you know, he's been victorious. The Iranians are not going to give that to him. We've killed the supreme leader. We have galvanized the Iranian people around the current regime.
Right.
Even some of the more moderate individuals inside of Iran who probably would like to come to a diplomatic agreement with us, they can't come out and say that just because of how galvanized the Iranian people are right now. So this regime currently is not going to give, no matter how many of them that we kill, they're not going to give the administration the piece of paper, the symbolic diplomatic victory that they want. At the same time, and President Trump has said this out loud, the reason why we got into the memorandum of understanding in the first place and accepted the ceasefire in the first place is because we couldn't achieve our victory via military action. And so now we're back to military action.
Right.
The fundamentals haven't changed. The Straits of Hormuz is still the Straits of Hormuz. The Iranian military,
this is the key.
They still got the ballistics.
This is the whole thing. The facts on the ground, not only have they not changed, they've gotten worse. We don't have missile interceptors, and we're going to run out of missiles. Like, what the hell? What the hell is it?
Simple math. I mean, really.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact math problem is, and the Iranians probably don't know what the exact math problem is, but they do know that they can lob stuff at us longer than we can shoot stuff down.
Right.
Or they can lob enough stuff at us on any one location. This is what I think they've shown. They've shown that they can reach out and they can touch us basically wherever. And we should, the message we should be receiving from that is that the more surface exposure we have, and I mean surface in terms of like our naval ships within range, but then also our bases within range, the more we're increasing the odds that we get hit, we suffer more casualties, we potentially suffer a mass casualty event. And then we all know President Trump's not going to be able to pull us out after a mass casualty event. I think right now, now that we've taken some more casualties, the Iranians have proven they have this capability. In the last 48 hours, we've done two, and I think CENTCOM just announced a third round of strikes. We have gotten our reprisal. We can say that we got our reprisal. And now I think is the time for President Trump to say, you know what? I took out their Navy. I took out their military. He's got the talking points down. He says them every time. Say that, get our guys out of there, and he can still probably convince a good deal of people here in the United States that we are successful. And then we can engage in quiet diplomacy to get the Straits of Hormuz back open up again. I pray he does that. And if he does do that, I will give him immense credit, and we should all be grateful if he does that. However, I am concerned that because he wants this piece of paper or he wants a military victory, and he keeps going back to the military, because like right now, you know, our diplomats, even on their best day, they're just not going to get a deal. And so he's going to the military and he's saying, what options do I have? And CENTCOM's probably saying like, well, we're kind of running out of stuff to bomb and to see an effect. And they're probably having to tell him all the different contingencies that we have for ground operations right now. And that is a mass. I'm sure he's getting warned. I hope he's getting warned, but that is that's a trap. Cause if we get sucked into that, I fear the worst, mass casualties, but then also the Iranians letting us come in and actually take an island or take, you know, the port at Mandar Abbas, but then isolating our troops via ballistics and drones to essentially have hostages without ever having to actually physically put their hands on American soldiers.
Right. It seems like all the troops in the region are hostages to me. And that's the whole prospect of fighting a war we can't defend our own people. That really rings hollow. And I think that promise is really pissing people off, myself included, and the vast majority of Americans. I do have to say, I think it's 70% don't support this war. My question to you is this, because I saw people talking about it and you talking about it over the weekend, talking about retaliating and then leaving. Doesn't that perpetuate itself as kind of like an escalation trap type of thing? Like, what do you view the response being? Like, what is proportionality? What does that mean?
Well, look, if our guys are under fire, we have to return fire immediately. So a lot of the debate is kind of semantic. I know people got mad when I said, like, we have to respond. Like, when we're under fire, we're going to shoot back. That's not like a moral dilemma. Like, that's what you do.
Right.
That's why you shouldn't put yourself in these situations. That's why I was against the war. That's why I resigned. That's why these wars in the Middle East have been foolish, and so has been our basing arrangement.
No, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because the purity testing stuff is a bit retarded. Right. And here's the thing. Yeah, like, yeah. You have a lot of life experience that a lot of people don't have, and they can disagree with your position or whatever, but we need capable people. We need people that are going to be there in the years to come for this political movement, for whatever America First truly ends up meaning. We need people like you. We need people like my dad. We need a lot of other people that have been persecuted and hounded. And I know, Joe, it's a very common experience to have to deal with like a created image that the mainstream media might create of you. Right. And then you're like, actually, no, I'm Joe Kent. I'm Alex Jones. I'm this guy. Right. I'm not what this article says about me. But from the perspective of people that are very like, we're all, myself included, we're all desperate right now for this to stop. And we're desperate for really the military, not the military, but the people in charge to be held to account for what they've done to our troops and our citizens. And I think that there's a growing anger and outrage. What is the runway before it is truly? And I think it's already for me. I'll never support him again. What is truly the end of the runway for Trump? In your approximation, how much longer does he have?
He's running out as we speak right now. I mean, because again, like, if the enemy gets lucky while you and I are having this conversation with a mass casualty event, then we're not going to be able to leave. And then we're going to be back in it. We suffered those three losses this weekend. We've done three iterations of strikes. I don't even think we needed to do three. I think we needed to just send back a volley at the military locations that launched those cruise missiles as we were leaving. It's covering fire basically in the military while you retreat. You're still shooting the bad guys to keep their heads down. That's what we should have done here in this instance. We don't need to stay forever and leave our guys vulnerable too. Cause then, like you said, yes, then it will become an escalation trap. We've definitely, we've blown up enough of their stuff. We've gotten vengeance for the individuals that they've killed. This is the time for President Trump to end this. He still right now has the ability to end this, because the next cruise missile, the next drone, whatever the case might be, maybe it's not going to kill. I don't want it to kill one more American. I don't want it to give one more American a hangnail. However, it could be catastrophic. It could be hitting, you know, one of the ships, or it could be hitting a base. You know, there's only so many places we can put people. I mean, it could be a mass casualty event. And then again, then we're going to be locked into this thing. Right now, he can say enough is enough. We've won. And I think he still has the ability, as long as he gets our guys out and we don't suffer any more losses, he does have the ability to continue to signal back here at home that he won. And, you know, the people who are against President Trump can say that, you know, that's not true. We didn't win. But at the end of the day, he'll still be able to shape the narrative.
I think you said it originally that when we just leave, what we should do is just declare victory and go home. They have no reason. And really, they have an anti-reason. They're in trouble if they keep the strait closed because then they're hated. Right. It makes no sense for them to do that. Right.
Yeah.
So just from like a perspective, you think about like Sun Tzu, Art of War, just like the best way to fight is not to fight. Right. It is to not have to have that battle. So we can just leave and not only protect our people, protect the financial assets of the country as well, because our global financial system is coming apart over this. And that's a whole nother topic I want to get to in the next segment. Really, World War III, economic war, Russia, Ukraine, more of the Iran war, the Houthis closing the strait. We're going to get into all of it. And more. I do want to plug really quick because they told me to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Joe, we got to get you some merch. Whatever you want, you'll get it for free. Thealexjonesstore.com. We got amazing water filtration as well. I'm super excited to tell people about that. We got the phenomenal supplements, the power plant, the methylene blue, methylene red, methyl drive, you name it, MK, all the other things that we have available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. I really like the Freedom 250 collection and everything else that we have available. And I do want to tell you guys, I am live every single morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., New American Journal in the morning. I got to get you on the morning show as well. But with that being said, with that plug being done, I want to get into this. Matt Bracken, who's another operator like yourself, he's a Navy SEAL. He has this phenomenal graphic. It's all one energy world war. This is kind of a prelude to the next segment. Can we go ahead and throw that up, guys? It's time to realize that we are in an energy world war. Look at this here. It's only 500 kilometers from the Russia-Ukraine conflict zone to the USA-Iran conflict zone. The combined war zone stretches 8,000 kilometers for freedom units, burger units. That's like around like 4,000 miles. NATO countries are supplying Ukraine with deep strike weapons to attack Russia. If you include Ukrainian strikes against Russia in the Caspian Sea, this is between the conflict zones shrinks to only 500 kilometers. Joe, what do you see as just the future, where we're headed here? It seems pretty bleak.
It's incredibly bleak. And look, this is another reason why Trump needs to end this thing immediately. I mean, just this morning, we had an announcement from the Houthis that potentially they're going to shut down the Bab al-Mandeb, basically the gateway to the Mediterranean into the Suez, that the Saudis have been using to circumvent a lot of the troubles that are taking place in the Straits of Hormuz because of this war. Now, that's not confirmed. It hasn't happened yet, as far as I know. But if that does happen, we are going to be in dire straits. And then everything that's taking place in Ukraine, in Russia, this is yet another war that we should have gotten out of quite some time ago. We never should have gotten into it in the first place. But I mean, Matt does a great job of laying it out there on that map. Like, all of these events that we don't think are interconnected are deeply, deeply interconnected. Now, we won't feel it as immediately here in America as the rest of the world, as Europe and Asia will. But if we don't start getting serious about making sure at least these choke points are opened back up again and like the kinetic war stops, then we are going to be in a very, very bad way. Look, I think the Russia-Ukraine thing that's kind of out of Trump's hands. I don't know how much he could do short of – I think Russia believes that they're winning right now, and Ukraine could continue to fight for a little bit. I think we should choke off a lot of the money and the funding and the weapons that we're giving them as well. But what's taking place in the Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, Bab al-Mandeb, President Trump can control a lot of that. If we end this war right now and we incentivize through sanctions relief the Iranians to open back up the Straits of Hormuz, we can at least blunt or buy us some more time in the coming energy crisis. But if this war stays hot and the Iranians continue to choke off the Straits and potentially even the Bab al-Mandeb, we are heading towards an economic disaster, probably starting in, I don't know, the fall, the winter time frame is what most oil experts are saying.
Wow. We're going to come right back to that. We're going to talk about the Yanbu pipeline. We're going to talk about the Saudis. We're going to talk about Yemen and so much more. Joe Kent, stay with me right here after this break.
microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the program. Second hour here with Joe Kent. We're talking about all things geopolitical right now, talking about Ukraine, Russia, and of course the U.S.-Iran war going on right now, talking about Yemen, Saudi Arabia, the Yanbu pipeline, where of course 5.2 million barrels of crude go through every single day, I believe. That's about to be prospectively shut down. So Joe, what can you tell us? What do you know about the situation between Yemen, Saudi Arabia, and what we're potentially facing right now, not just with the Strait of Hormuz, but with the Bab el-Mandeb?
Yeah, the Houthis, if people remember, I mean, things move so fast, it's easy to forget that we fought the Houthis last year. Essentially, we launched Operation Rough Rider in an attempt to stop the Houthis from basically choking off a lot of the supply lanes on the Bab al-Mandeb. We were unable to militarily defeat the Houthis. We dealt them some blows, but for people who don't know, it's easy to forget this just looking at a map. Yemen is very mountainous. That western coast of Yemen is ideal for having the high ground, having intricate series of caves where you can defend airspace and where you can also rain down missiles on basically the Red Sea and the Bab al-Mandeb. The Houthis used terrain. They used a lot of the technology that the Iranians had given them very, very effectively. Eventually we were able to, the Houthis stopped and they reopened up the shipping lanes. They said that they still reserved the right to strike Israel based on what was taking place in Gaza, but they've remained relatively quiet during this war. So it was always a calculation of at what point in time would the Houthis get involved. Now the Saudis decided to bomb Sana'a International Airport as the Houthi delegation tried to return from Iran from the former supreme leader's funeral. I don't believe that the Saudis would have done that to provoke the Houthis if they didn't have intelligence telling them that the Houthis were going to get back into the fight and do things more decisively. I could be wrong. That's just my read. I don't think the Saudis were looking to open up a new front in the war. So I took their actions as that they probably had some kind of indicators that said that the Houthis were about ready to get involved. Now, again, just to show how durable the control of that airspace has been, the Saudis, they were able to bomb Sana'a, but they weren't able to stop the Houthi delegation from going to an alternate airport closer to the coast, just showing how strong their grip is on that coastline of the Red Sea. So the delegation was able to land there. So if the Houthis do this and they're able to shut down or even just slow down the traffic, because the Houthis basically just said they're going to stop the Saudis from being able to use the Red Sea and the Bab al-Mandeb, which basically negates that Yanbu pipeline that you talked about. The Yanbu pipeline just basically cuts across Saudi Arabia, and as opposed to going at the Straits of Hormuz, it cuts to the west and dumps out in the Red Sea. And so then it either goes south to Asia or it goes up north through the Suez into the Med. So again, this would be a major issue, even if it was happening in an isolated incident. That's kind of why we had to launch Operation Rough Rider. But now that we have the Straits of Hormuz under the grip of the Iranians, this is a complete game changer. Because if these two entities, the Houthis and the Iranians, start working in coordination to choke off global energy supplies, again, it's yet another reason. It's just yet another factor. It's like if we couldn't beat the Houthis militarily last year when this is all we had to worry about.
Right.
And now we haven't been able to beat the Iranians. Like a world doesn't exist where we can beat both simultaneously.
No, 100%. And that just makes sense because it's basic math. If we couldn't do it back then when we had like basically infinitely more supplies than we have now wasted, like how are we expected to get that job done? And I think it's kind of crazy to think about. What happens then? Kind of just like, of course, not asking you to do a prediction or anything, just in your estimation, who has to fight these people if this is going to expand or escalate in this direction?
In theory, it would have to be us. I mean, we can kind of like lie to ourselves and say it's going to be the Saudis, and maybe the Saudis would be able to do a decent amount, but they wouldn't be able to make significant progress without the Houthis. But then we would have to pull a lot of resources away from what we're doing in the Straits of Hormuz. And so then it becomes a whack-a-mole game. And at any given time, they could shut down one or both Bab al-Mandeb, Straits of Hormuz. So again, like this is sort of like where we were before the MOU. Like there's no military solution. And now there's like even less of a military solution because we're talking about a whole separate front that we already haven't been able to tackle, you know, once before opening back up. This is why I really hope that President Trump like stops listening to all the hype and all the happy talk that he's getting about how we're just going to keep kicking butt and taking names. And he realizes that the strongest hand for him to play right now is just to walk away.
Well, here's the thing. You're like psychic or something. You're throwing shade at the future clip that I'm going to play. Joe, here's the thing. What do you know? What experience do you have? I've got a guy named Mark Levin, and he knows a lot. I want to go ahead and play this because here's the thing. We do good shows. We try to present good information. We want the president to get us out of this war. He's listening to the other side. Go ahead and roll Mark Levin.
Populism. Populism undermines republicanism. Populism is the mob. The mob. Historically, it's been the mob. Oh, I'm a populist. No. We are little R Republicans. That's what we believe in.
Oh, he's so funny, man.
And then there's anti-Semitism.
the Marxists, the Islamists, and the neo-fascist woke right.
Ooh.
They're all supporting Jew hatred.
They Not
true. All trash Israel. It is on a constant, relentless basis now. Of all the countries in the world, little tiny Israel is relentlessly attacked.
Pause now it. Whoa. Little tiny Israel is always starting these massive, like, regional wars and crazy conflicts. It's basically the entire history. So the reason, I just want to point this out. I want to see what your perspective is. Mark, the reason why people are upset with Israel is because we keep having to fight these wars that we have nothing to do with. Joe, what's your take on that?
Not even good gaslighting at this point.
No.
I mean, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I guess this would have been effective. But I mean, Levin is just grasping at straws here, because you don't even have to be deeply steeped in the region just to understand that Israel drug us into this war. And that Israel has basically been dictating our policy in the Middle East now since at least the post 9/11 era. I think most Americans just pretty much accept that. So I don't even think this little act that he's doing has very much purchase anymore. But as you said, unfortunately, you know, the president does still tell us that he watches Mark Levin.
Right.
So for whatever reason, this is some of the advice that he's getting. And as comical as I can't even take, I think he's hilarious. I just learned today with this clip that those lapel pins he has are actually not a meme. That's what I was laughing about. I thought that was a meme. I didn't know they were actually like that big.
Well, really quick. That's a whole thing.
Yeah,
Joe.
No, I was just gonna, all he's doing is the same. It's the tired game. It doesn't work anymore. Like nobody cares what religion they practice in Israel. We care that our government is pursuing the strategic objectives for Israel at our behest. We are fighting, we are dying, we are bleeding, and in the long run, we will suffer the most from it. That's what the fundamental issue is. And I'm happy to argue that with him. I went on the show and argued it. And I think most Americans just understand that. So this is just desperation.
Yeah, it's my personal theory that he's got like a, you know, like people have like chess sets that are ornate and whatever. He's got pins that are like an inch and a half smaller, inch and a half bigger, you know, metallic, glossy, matte. Like he messes with you subliminally. It's a great technique to keep people engaged with your show, because a tackle box is what the crew is saying, a tackle box. But it's sad. It's really not funny. It's actually kind of sad, because the people with the least experience, they get listened to the most, it seems. And it's just kind of this like experiential gap. We see people around President Trump that I just don't think have the context to give him information so that he can make the right decisions. And then the people that he's involved with, they're going to push him towards perpetuating these conflicts. Joe, in your estimation, is there anybody around him that gives him good advice right now? Is there anybody?
I hope he's listening to the vice president. I mean, when we hear the vice president come out and talk about this war, it's very sober. It's very clear eyed. You know, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about the influence that Israel has in our media and how the role that's played in this war. He's much more measured than I have been. However, he's got a very clear vision, you know, of what's taking place here. So I don't know what choice the president's going to make at the end of the day. Like I think we've all granted President Trump a lot of grace about like, oh, he got bad advice, or the deep state slow rolling him, et cetera. But like, he's got the maximum agency right now, and no one can make a bold move like President Trump. And he needs to make a bold move right now. Like he has got to stick his head up and realize just where we're at. I still believe that one of President Trump's like strongest characteristics is that he can look at macro, like large scale data, like you've been putting up with those maps, where that leverage is in the energy sector and the ramifications that we'll have, and that he can still make really big decisions really quickly. I just don't believe that he doesn't understand all this. So I am still puzzled as to why he hasn't just said, okay, Mr. Vice President, why don't you call some shots right now? Or him just come out and be like, we won, we're leaving, and I'm going to fire everybody who told me this was going to be a good idea.
I lean towards a hostage scenario. I think there's some co-option and some control that's taken place. Like, we're aware of information operations and intelligence and the various things that you can do. And human beings are human beings. Nobody is God except for Jesus Christ, of course. We all put on our pants one leg at a time. I think people oftentimes get confused on this, and they project kind of like their parasocial relationship onto like who they want the person to be. In reality, maybe it was never fair to ask somebody to do everything they promised to do in running for office. And then you have to look at our entire political system and go, damn, is this what we are? So Joe, in just 2028, 2032, moving forward, What do you think the long-term implications of this war are going to be for the American people when they go to the polls next time? Because we hear a lot about election integrity, voter fraud, XYZ, all these things that are very important. But ultimately, Americans just don't, there's no, you vote for Biden, vote for Trump, you get war. It doesn't seem like there's a way out of this. What's your take on that?
I agree. And I think there's a lot of issues with our elections. I come from a state that's been doing mail-in voting and machine tabulation for decades now. So I think horrible. That's a huge problem. However, you're right. People, especially the base, the people who came out 77 million strong, who came out for Trump to bring that coalition back together. A lot of them are going to be saying, like, I thought, you know, I came out here and I voted. I took a chance and I got the exact same thing that I was, you know, voting against. And so we're going to have a hard case to make on the populist right in 2028 if we're kind of rolling out just the same slogans and a lot of the same people.
Right.
We're going to have to present, you know, we're going to have to present people that actually have a track record of speaking out, of standing up and of doing the right thing when there was no incentives to do so. And then we're also going to have to be able to articulate what our vision for the future is, how we're going to keep ourselves out of getting in these endless wars, how we're going to actually start putting America first. And I think a lot of that from the position of, you know, the commander in chief for the presidency is really being able to articulate what our foreign policy is, what we see America's role as being, how we're going to start retracting the so-called American empire that's never benefited the American people. Because the longer that we try and cling on to this empire and say that we're the indispensable nation in every single region of the world, we're the protectors of the Straits of Hormuz, the longer we try and hold on to this, the more our nation is going to suffer. The next president, and I think really for the rest of President Trump's presidency as well, the choice that we have to make is, are we going to save our republic, or we're going to try and cling on to our empire? Because you can't do both. And I think basically the last 20 years have proven that, have gotten us to this point. So in 28, I do believe that we can build a populist political coalition on this idea that we don't have to agree on every single issue. We might not agree on like how to do healthcare. We might not agree on social issues. But as long as we can all agree that whoever sits in the White House next, they're not going to take marching orders from a foreign lobby. They're not going to get us involved in any more wars unless they can, you know, in very, very plain terms, define what the vital national security interest is and how America is threatened and what our plan is for executing and what our conditions are for saying mission success, we're done. And then how we're going to, again, retract this empire and focus on actually putting the American people first. That's going to be key in 2028. I am worried, though, that we're not going to be able to, you know, motivate the base to come back together and rally around this. And I think if we have a disenfranchisement scenario where a lot of young people don't come out and vote, or they opt to vote for Mondamis and right. for a lot of the, you know, more socialist leaning populists, we could be in for some very, very dark days, because the solution to all this nonsense isn't socialism, for God's sakes.
Right.
We know what the solution is. We know what the formula is. We've just got to convince people that we're actually going to execute on it. We've got to reject the foreign funding, the foreign money, and then more foreign entanglements.
No, it's literally you have a layup, the court is wide open, and then you throw the ball in the coach's face and break their nose. Like that's the best analogy that I can give for all this. We want economic recovery. What that means is literally in the slogan, America first, domestic above foreign, protecting ourselves instead of this bizarre fetish for projecting power. And of course, Washington warned about beware foreign entanglements, right? Like, let's just think about this for a second. The foreign entanglement, just foreign engagement in general, when it's unnecessary, that benefits the other nations because there's a grift there. They can grab on and take a little piece of us every single time we engage in that, and they puff us up. Oh, you're important. You're so vital to the world order. You're the world policeman, XYZ. All the while we're getting fleeced and they're picking our pocket, whether that's Europe, Ukraine, Israel. It's kind of this universal picture of us having the weakest allies around that literally rely on us to be their defense system. And I'm not dying for any country besides my own. And that's, I will die on that. They are not going to take me to go die in Ukraine or Iran. I need to have children, right? And you tell young people like me that, you know, you're not patriotic if you don't support the war. This is the last thing I wanted to ask you. I want to ask you about this. I wrote it down. What do you say about people that say these soldiers signed up to die in this war and that you're not allowed to criticize it, and that in fact criticizing it is disrespectful to them? Isn't that outrageous and obscene?
Yeah, that's actually very disrespectful. I mean, look, anybody who joins the military, they do it because they're patriotic and they do it because they love their country.
Right.
But there is also, because it's an all-volunteer force, we are not conscripting people to join our military. Yes. And the underpinning of the all-volunteer force is a social contract. It is trust. It is the men and women of our armed forces volunteering to lay down their lives for our nation because they trust our leaders. They have to trust that our leaders are only going to deploy them and send them into harm's way to defend the United States of America for a vital national security interest. When I went off to war, it was after 9/11, and I thought we were going to, you know, beat back the terrorists and defend our nation. It turned out we were lied to. In this one, in this Iran war, the commander in chief didn't even attempt to sell this war or explain why we were executing this war to the American people. And now we are continuing to take casualties. Both these individuals we tragically just lost the other day,
yes,
were either not born or babies during 9/11. I think that the young lady there was 19 years old. She wasn't even born when the attacks of September 11th happened.
Right.
So the fact that these individuals are over there and we don't have a vital national security interest, it is actually now our patriotic duty as citizens, because these young soldiers came from our ranks. They came from our citizenry and they went forward ostensibly to defend us. It is now our responsibility to hold our leaders accountable because our leaders have broken that social contract. If right. we don't have this social contract and this social contract isn't upheld by our leadership, then the entire system is going to start to crumble and it's going to start to fray. And this is one of the dangers, I believe, of having an all-volunteer force. I have many mixed feelings about this, but I proudly served as a volunteer. I served in special forces. So I served with like the volunteers of the volunteers.
Right.
However, the all-volunteer military has given our elected officials the ability to separate war and the pain and the loss of war from the vast majority of the American citizenry. This has allowed them to keep us at war for 20 plus years in the global war on terror. It's allowed them to send us off to this war in Iran without explaining it to the American people. If there had to be a draft right now, there is no way this war would have gotten off the ground. The draft is why the Vietnam War ended when it did. So I do think we have a lot of hard decisions to make. I'm not saying I'm in favor of a draft by any means. However, because the social contract between our leaders and our citizenry is being broken in these needless, senseless wars and with needless, senseless deaths, it is our patriotic duty to question it. We honor the blood of our fallen by holding our leaders accountable for needless deaths and foolish wars like this.
Yeah, and strong points for sure. And that's the thing is people, they'll say, oh, well, you're not being patriotic if you don't support these military actions. I just say, hey, man, I'm just thinking about all the people that signed up for the peace president. They got blown up. You know, I think a lot of people are thinking about that right now. It's very somber and harrowing to think about this stuff, much less I can't even imagine being over there having to actually deal with it. And, you know, I'd like to live in a country that is actually what it says it is, you know, land of the free, the home of the brave, and maybe we were free and we were brave at a certain point, but I think we've been co-opted through ignorance. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Another way to say that is ignorance. And I think what you're speaking to here, it reminds me of the Otto von Bismarck quote, or von Bismarck quote, America has weak neighbors to its north and south and fish to its east and west. So it's not only the all-volunteer military, it's also the uniqueness of the American experiment and us really creating that modern world that has allowed for us to really have that decentralized, like, network approach to the planet. And now I think other nations have caught up to that as well. And our old tricks, our old methods that maybe worked in the 20th century don't work so well anymore. And I think it's key what you say. We can either choose to have the American Empire or the American Republic. And I think that we all would support the latter. Thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always great to be with you, man.
100%. I'll see you soon. You got to come on the morning show. I'll see you soon.
Love to.
Badass. See you soon. Thank you so much. That was Joe Kent and another phenomenal interview. We're going to get the clips out. Really important stuff. Please share the live link, the live feed. I do need to plug. Just go ahead and pull up the Power Drive bundle. Okay. I created these products. We got the methylene blue. We got the CoQ10, the PQQ, the magnesium, the methylated vitamin B12, the Rhodiola roja golden root, the cordyceps mushroom extract to increase ATP and oxygen carrying capacity. We've got the boron. We've got the zinc. We've got the selenium. We've got the black pepper and so much more. All of that is found together in the Power Drive bundle. I made these two products specifically to enhance the effects of methylene blue. Ultimate Methyl Drive is so incredible because it, number one, contains CoQ10, which is something that aids in the electron transport chain of the mitochondria, and it has the PQQ, which enhances that mitochondrial biogenesis, the fusing and also creation of new mitochondria as well. They got their own DNA, remember that. Combined with the Ultra Methylene Blue, which is a redox active molecule, very powerful, speeds you through the Krebs cycle, make more energy in a more clean way, combined with the Power Plant, the ultimate The new version, I call it Super Male Vitality 2.0. It's a different formula, works in a different way. Basically, enhance physical exercise by taking cordyceps mushroom, breathe better, work out harder, train better, take the Rhodiola roja, increases dopamine and norepinephrine in the brain a little bit, modulates those two things, going to make your workouts feel better. Take the boron, take the zinc, take the selenium, raise your enzymatic processes throughout the body, raise your testosterone, free testosterone in my approximation. Those aren't claims. Just look it up. Google Scholar, PubMed. They'll all tell you the same thing. These are really powerful metabolic ingredients and supplements that have the potential to change your life. Of course, I'm not a doctor or medical professional, but look into all these things and ask yours. Say, hey, this supplement's got CoQ10 and PQQ, magnesium and methylated vitamin B12 in it. I can't absorb vitamin B12 too good. I need to take a supplement. Doctor might even tell you to take it if you ask him about it. So go ahead and take, buy, get it as a gift, the Power Drive bundle for you or a loved one today. We've just got the methylene blue. We got the methylene red. We got methylene blue capsule. We got the beef tallow products as well, which are really cool. We've also got, I want to tell you guys about this, the colostrum. And I have been eating the gummies and I have been feeling great. I think it's a little too far gone for my hair though. I don't think I'll be regrowing any luscious locks anytime soon. Although here's the thing, I will do the Dr. Phil later on in the year because I'm going to do the Mark Levin for Halloween. Okay, I'm going to do the Mark Levin for Halloween. Tim Dillon did the Meghan McCain. That's a classic. It kind of blew up off that, to be honest. I'm going to method act and I'm going to live as Mark Levin for 24 hours. I'm going to film the whole thing. So that's going to be really fun. That'll be coming up in October. But I do just want to tell you, look at it. Hamas and Hezbollah. We actually just had Joe Kent on the show. I'm not a big fan of Joe Kent. What did he ever do? Serve in the military? I have a radio show where I talk to Trump and I work for Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm a lot cooler guy. I'm Mark Levin. Let me tell you right now, Hamas and Hezbollah are not going to defeat us, buddy. They're not going to defeat us. No matter, we'll fight to the last American. All right, so I haven't been watching him recently, so the impression is starting to go. It's a little bit deeper. It's Hamas and Hezbollah. All right, that's okay. I did want to get to this. I'll review it really quick. Got 1 minute left. The Supreme Leader, Mujtaba, the new Khamenei, we replaced Khamenei with Khamenei, remember that? He rejected a meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Ali al-Zadi. Ali al-Zadi was just at the White House. That definitely smells like a failed assassination attempt for me, to me from UNC. There he is. So draw. Hold on. Keep the camera there. We're going to go down. And then he's got a little tail. He's got goatee. And he's got the pitchfork. I will see you all soon. In the next hour, I'm taking your calls. Stay tuned. Get ready.
It's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
Ha 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 ha! There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the Sith and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Folks, if you watch this broadcast, then you are an analyst, you are a journalist, you are a reporter, you are a philosopher, you are an engineer, you are a thinker, a visionary. We all are together because we care about the future of our country, and we're going to do our damnedest to make sure it's a little bit better. Or a lot better, I hope. I'm Rex Jones, hosting the War Room for you today. I'll also be here Wednesday and Friday. Really quick, do a little recap on who I'll be having on. I'm going to have Suleiman Ahmed, the only Western journalist based out of the UK, of course, the only Western journalist to be in every city, every town, every province, everywhere ever, following the largest funeral procession in human history for, of course, Ayatollah Khamenei, who the U.S. murdered. So we're going to be talking to him on Wednesday. And then on Friday, I've got the great top geopolitical strategist, analyst, writer, you name it, Brandon Weikert. You know him. You love him. Phenomenal guy. Always on with Mario. Always on a lot of the other big channels as well. Happy to call him a friend. Really looking forward to that. But I want to go ahead, because I'm going to get into Ukraine, Russia, and all this stuff. I want to go ahead and close out on the neocon warmonger Israel worship stuff. Let's go back to Pete Hegseth. That's clip number 22. One more time, like Daft Punk.
Mr. President, I'll start kind of where you left off, Mr. President. Thank you for doing the work of the free world and having the courage to step up and stop the Iranian terror regime from holding the world hostage. That's really what it is. And 27 days ago, Iran had a modern military. Never in recorded history has a nation's military been so quickly and effectively neutralized. Operation Epic Fury is not an endless war. It's a decisive campaign with clear objectives to destroy Iran's offensive military capabilities and ensure they never obtain a nuclear weapon. This is stuff for the history books. This is stuff for legacy. Mr. President, you are acting now to ensure future generations do not have to live under the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran. However, you wouldn't know it if you listened to the dishonest hate Trump media, as you referenced. The folks here in the room, these cameras, they have a choice. You're either informing the American people of the truth or you're not. Because I hear it from my people every day. Behind every headline you write, there's a helicopter crew in the air. And behind every news banner you write, there's a battalion on the move.
Behind every free speech right you exercise, there's a team of people who are trying to get murdered in the Middle East for Israel. I mean, come on. Do we not just like, do I roll over and just go, and just like vomit out of my mouth like the Exorcist? I don't know how many times I can hear it. I don't know how many more times I can hear these people cap. I really don't. Go back to Pete.
There's an F-35 pilot executing a dangerous mission. My message to the media is get it right.
Get it done.
This actually isn't something new to me. Maybe a young guy, Mr. President, but I'm not a rookie in this.
Pause it. Hey, what is up with this Fast and the Furious Marvel Cinematic Universe DC Flash adaptation dialogue? Go ahead, rewind that and play the last 5 seconds of it. Just go ahead and rewind like 5 seconds. I may be a young guy, but I'm not a rookie to these streets, dog. It's like, who are you talking to? You're the Secretary of Defense, not the Secretary of War. You're the Secretary of Defense sitting there with the top button of his suit button. No one, yeah, I'm going to puke. He's got the top button. My dad told me not to do this when I was like 9. You look like an imbecile. Look at me. Look at me. I look like the Penguin. Good grief. Go back to him. Go back to Pete.
My message to the media is get it right. This actually isn't something new to me. I may be a young guy, Mr. President, but I'm not a rookie in this realm. In 2007, I helped lead the surge, the public fight for the Iraq surge. Stood and watched people stand in the Senate and declare the war is lost before it even started. Who was that? It was Harry Reid. That was the Democrats and the media working hand in glove.
Pause.
It was 3 years.
Whoa, is he coming out in support of the Iraq war? What the hell is going on? These people are degens. All right, we're going to get right back to it. Another banger interview, another banger hour coming right back up. Stay tuned. Call into the show in a little bit.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Okay, I don't know how I forgot about this banger. This is absolutely Kino. So if you guys weren't following things, Argentina got BTFO'd at the World Cup. Spain took it home. Viva España. Shout out to them. Of course, Netanyahu, Ben-Gavir, the evil people they voted for, not voted for, they're rooting for Messi in Argentina because, you know, Israeli colony over there and the blue and white, it's the same color scheme. But they were defeated. But you know who was there at the World Cup? You know, probably the most important person in America, if not the world, Rabbi Shmuley. So go ahead and throw him up. There we go, right there. We got Rabbi Shmuley HD footage at the World Cup. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, you're not going to let me do genocide anymore? What's going on here?
Like, literally, dude, he's Watto from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, right there. Look, he's negotiating. There he is. That's kind of a more flattering photo for sure. He did not get what he wanted, I'll tell you that. Argentina lost, and it was a boring, boring game because soccer sucks. And I'm sorry, it's just true. Soccer sucks, and this is America, and, you know, we really don't do that here, even though it's growing and becoming more popular. Not interested. Oh, 2-0, 3-0. You know, I used to play tennis at a very high-level place where people would go, and literally had a sister school in Barcelona, and kids would go all the way from Europe to America to train there. And I met a lot of these people, phenomenal people, love people from Barcelona. Seriously, phenomenal. Some of them even stayed with my mom for a while, like did the foster home or like home away from home type stuff, right? I would watch games with them and it would be fun because it was a community thing. But here in America, I never talked to a buddy about soccer. So to try to get me interested in it is just like, I'd rather watch like MMA or combat sports or boxing or jiu-jitsu or something, right? Something entertaining, something that I can relate to versus just the whole kicking the ball around. Of course, Shmuley likes it. It involves balls. But just go ahead really quick. Just go throw Watto up there. It's kind of crazy how, like, the striking resemblance between Rabbi Shmuley and Watto, the slave trader, merchant, literally merchant from, Star Wars Episode 1. So I just thought that was a little funny right there. Okay. Enough fun. On to serious topics. I've got clip number 28, which is going to go into the Russia-Ukraine situation, and we're going to go over various elements of it. I agree, disagree with certain things, but the core message is true. They try to de-escalate multiple times. Istanbul, you name it, right? It was the West, it was NATO, it was Boris Johnson, it was us that perpetuated and continued the war. And next time I have Joe Kinn on, we're going to talk more about Ukraine, because I do want to have that discussion, because we 100% perpetuate that. We could pull out of that and end it, in my opinion, anytime we wanted. Of course, I'm not a military man, but I'm willing to have that debate with somebody. And I think you would agree with me in large part on that. But let's go ahead and roll clip 28.
Are we heading to a, like, Armageddon-like huge war in Europe? What's your personal...
Of course, because
you think it's inevitable.
It is inevitable because that's what your governments have been heavily invested into. We were not escalating first. Let me remind you, we were ready to stop in Istanbul, and there was not even a question of Zaporozhye. It was not even a question of Kherson, and the Ukrainian side agreed, and it was Boris Johnson and Macron that insisted on continuing the war that led to more than 1 million Ukrainians being killed.
Pause it. All right, anyone that says, oh, you play the Russian propaganda. What are you, a Putin puppet, Everything he just said is verifiably true. It doesn't matter that he has a Russian accent saying it. And, you know, these people talk about racism all the time and xenophobia all the time. Give me a break. Keep playing it.
More than 1 million Ukrainians being killed. And that's why Istanbul documents, they are so scary for European and Ukrainian officials. Because in those documents, there's not even a word of conquering Ukraine, of grabbing territories, of colonialism. No, it's only Crimea and Donbass. That was it. Every single time when we have to continue war, we're saying that next time we'll negotiate on the conditions that we're facing on the battlefield. And every time it's worse for the Ukrainian side. And every time Ukrainians are paying with their blood, as had been told by a Polish politician, it's the best possible scenario. Ukrainians pay with blood, and we provide them with rusted metal.
Pause it. Here's the thing. Both sides say the same thing. Lindsey Graham says they're going to fight to the last Ukrainian. So, oh, the Russians are so evil. They say they have to get rid of the sperm bank of Ukraine. Lindsey Graham says the same thing. They'll fight to the last Ukrainian. Because the war isn't about Ukraine or the Ukrainians. It's about selling the country off for parts as scrap metal itself. Just so disturbing. Think about this. Like 200 miles of fiber optic cable on the ground. People getting obliterated face first with the FPV drone screaming into their eyeballs. Blades cutting their corneas off before the thing explodes. Think about the horror of that. The horrific nature of launching long-range missiles into a country that has more nuclear weapons than anywhere else on Earth. You think that the idea of fighting the Iranians is insane. A country of 92 million people, a regional power with some high-tech military equipment, some ballistic missiles and drones. These people have thermonuclear weapons, and they have more of them than we do. And they sit there and they tolerate us paying other nations like Ukraine, like a political hit woman or hooker, to go attack them. Wow. 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 Keep playing it.
Let me remind you that Lindsey Graham,
boo,
who is right now facing devil, and definitely he is in hell, he was the one saying, oh, that's the best possible investment. Russians are dying. That's quote. You were the one, I mean, Europeans and American taxpayers, that without even knowing it, are paying for the end of this world. Macron, being heavily beaten by his wife, couldn't find any better way to prove his masculine energy as by sending Ukrainians to die. I'm not sure whether Merz is popular right now in Germany, but he is willing with Pistorius to participate in this war. They all getting back to this huge militaries that they used to have. They are talking about enrollment of young people into military. They want to make it obligatory. What for? What for?
Pause it.
To fight Russia.
Ursula von der Leyen, unelected head of the EU Commission, former German defense minister, mandated that all tanks be made to spec for pregnant women. Okay? Think about, and I'm a feminist, by the way. Women first, women are better than me, all right? We don't send them off to war to go die. The people that make more people for the country. How stupid could you be?
My name is Angela Merkel, and the woman of Germany shall die. We shall replace them with the Pakistani and Sudanese immigrants, and it shall be the new Germany, the Fifth Reich!
It's not a joke, it's real. Israel. All right, go ahead and keep playing it.
For what purpose? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Russia gonna strike Europe with all its mighty force, sending land troops. Who believes in this bullshit?
Uh-oh.
If that was the purpose to start with, why we're still not in Poland and Baltic states? Mm-hmm. Or in Finland, with whom we have borders?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to go to Europe through Ukraine? We never wanted to. And Putin stated it 2,000 times. But in Europe, they don't want to listen. They want this war.
Wow. Wow. I've got a phenomenal article that I want to read you guys next or here in a second, talking about Baidu, talking about specifically what happens when we mess with other countries and we kind of use these political powers or economic powers we have, things like SWIFT, things like GPS, and how they invent alternate systems like SIPs, like Baidu, I'm about to get into here. But everything that guy just said is true. But because he has a Russian accent, I'll be labeled a Putin puppet for agreeing with him, even though I don't agree with him. I agree with the facts on the ground, right? Now, if you support a guy like little Zelensky, who is literally press ganging the last remnants of the young Ukrainian male race into vans so they can get driven out to go die via FPV drone, if you've been convinced to support that because you're a good person somehow, I mean, here's the thing. You got to wake up. Can't be so naive. Can't be so ignorant. But I want to get into this. I want to find it. Give me a second to find it, guys. Chinese Baidu satellite system is a game changer in Iran's war with the U.S. I'm going to read this really quick to y'all. The U.S. unwittingly provided the spark that ignited China's quest for the Baidu. The story begins in 1993 when a single Chinese container ship, the Yinhe, sailing to Iran, fortuitous, the vessel was accused by the CIA of carrying chemicals for weapons production. Middle Eastern ports, under pressure from the U.S., refused entry and the ship was stranded in the Indian Ocean. The U.S. not only pressured allies but reportedly disabled the ship's GPS access, forcing it to drop anchor for weeks. Inspections in Saudi Arabia eventually cleared the vessel, but China received no apology or compensation. This humiliation, losing navigation mid-ocean due to a reliance on a foreign-controlled system, became a pivotal lesson for Beijing. It accelerated development of an independent satellite navigation network, Baidu, also known as BDS, instead of GPS. I wonder what that stands for, Baidu. Okay, BDS-1, first generation, that was regional. BDS-2 is expanded. BDS-3, completed around 2020, transformed it into a global powerhouse with dozens of satellites, far more ground stations in the global south, and superior accuracy in many regions compared to GPS. Today, Baidu outperforms GPS in coverage and precision across roughly 165 countries. Here, I'll give you a quote. Necessity is the mother of invention. I'm experiencing that right now for myself, tired of being broke. Like, seriously. Like, they were broke, and they fixed it, right? We're broke and we get into more debt. That's what we do as a country instead of learning from these lessons. This is how a smart nation behaves. Key advantages of Baidu for Iran include resistance to jamming, higher accuracy. It's closer, more accurate, literally. Real-time command, upgrade has contributed significantly to Iran's ability, there you go, to penetrate U.S. defenses in the Gulf countries and dramatically improved Iran's ability to strike critical targets, which has undermined confidence in U.S. security guarantees in the Gulf. The U.S. decision to use GPS as a weapon in 1993 has backfired spectacularly, proof that humiliating China inspired a technological leap that now gives China and its satellites a strategic advantage over the U.S. That's why I got nearly an almost perfect score on the English portion of the SAT. Wow. Okay. So I want to go to clip 18 here. I want to go to, I think it's Mike Adams. Yes. Health Ranger on Daniel Davis laying out the impacts of this continued war on Iran. Go ahead and go to clip 18.
This escalation ladder that we're on here is going to end up in a catastrophic effects for the world and ultimately also for U.S. citizens. And that's, I know that that's why you wanted to have me on today. So we'll get to some of the details of why, but this is not some isolated thing that just happens halfway around the world and doesn't impact us. If we don't find peace, if we don't restart the Strait of Hormuz through normal traffic, and by that, I mean at least 100 commercial ships per day for 100 days in a row, if we don't get back to that, the consequences for the world will be catastrophic for years to come. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will. And unfortunately, and I hope somebody from the White House tunes into this show, because it doesn't seem that they don't seem to be aware of these compounding effects. They're just looking at the X's and O's on the attack board here, how many targets. I actually just got off the phone a few minutes ago with Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst and friend of our show here. And he says that, listen, he goes, his analysis is put together. He said there are basically 1,000 different targets that are scattered throughout Iran that we have to try and attack. And with these 80 shots here, 100 shots here, 130 there, whatever, on these back and forth things, he said, number one, they're not that important because all the important targets had already been serviced in the first part. And the ones that really matter for control of the strait are underground. So it's not going to matter how many targets you hit because it's not going to change the dynamic that Iran is in control of the strait. On the other hand, he said that Iran only has to fire at 10 general targets, the 10 of the bases that we have in there, and they'll just continue to pummel them. And apparently that's what was going on even right now. Gary's looking to see if we can find any active headlines on that. But this just shows the futility. We are going to throw stuff at the Iranian side, and it's not going to have any effect on the main issue, which is forcing control of the Strait of Hormuz out of their hands so that we get to dictate that. And then in return, we're getting hit in targets that are all above ground. And so every strike is usually hitting something that matters to us. And the most important thing, as you pointed out, that strait stays closed.
Right videos.
All right. We got to figure out something here, when it comes to channels like this, because not enough of you guys are subscribed to them. Okay, that was Daniel Davis. He does a phenomenal daily, even more than daily, literally hourly updates on the war, everything, the best guests in the entire world. We got to get him on the program. I called my dad this week, and he didn't answer on Saturday. I'll be honest, he didn't answer. And I was literally calling him about Daniel Davis, but then he called me back after I had taken a nap and I woke up, and I had forgotten to tell him that we got to get Daniel Davis on the Alex Jones Show. The way he breaks it down, of course, a combat veteran, a lot of military experience as well. But really, here's the thing. The more you present information like this, the better you get at doing it. And we're starting to get people that have really, really sharpened themselves far, far past the degree that I have. And he's definitely one of those people. That's why I encourage other people like a Joe Kant or an Anthony Aguilar to do more media, to do more interviews specifically. Also just to do shows, period. Like, these dudes should have shows, especially if you're running for political office, right? I'm a big believer in that. So, like, we've got to reach a level where the populace realizes, and we've always said this, we said this literally since probably before I was born in 1997. My dad was probably saying this. It's cool to be informed. It's badass to be informed. That's where you want to be. A real intellectual is not somebody that's read 1,000 stupid books and went to college and learned some therapy speak AR language. I guess it is a weapon. HR language, right? A little Freudian slip there, because that's what it really is. It's a weapon against normal people that don't want to manipulate others. In reality, that's what, you know, a lot of these lawyers and other people do that have destroyed our lives, right? Just a little bit of anger there. Got to push that down. The real genius is somebody that knows how to rip a car apart and put it back together. The real genius is somebody that can identify, you know, 1,000 different types of birds and knows everything about their lifestyle and their habit and what they do. The real genius is the person that understands they live in the world and they're going to lift everybody else up because we're all created by God. Not this analytical, weird, yuppie thing, right? We pretend to know more than each other. Socrates said, I know that I know nothing. My dad said, I'm kind of retarded. It's basically the same phrase, right? And if we operated off that, I think we'd be a lot better off. And even the people with the wealth of experience, the world of experience, the most reassuring thing you can hear from them, and also most terrifying, kind of double-edged sword, I don't know. That's what some of them say. We're all in the same boat here trying to figure this stuff out. Let's unite forces together and support everybody doing amazing media, amazing broadcasts. Notice I'm not even plugging myself right now, although I will later on in the broadcast. Seriously, pull this up on YouTube really quick. Transition Protocol. And don't worry, we're not getting fake boobs or anything. Transition Protocol. Larry Johnson, Pepe Escobar, Dr. Z, all distinguished political or geopolitical analysts, literally the best guests in the entire world, connections to Pakistan, connections to Iran, connections to Russia. When I say that, I mean sources, of course, on the ground, people that they interview, they talk to. Larry Johnson was in, he's basically never wrong, okay? He was in the CIA for 31 years. What have you done, Cupcake? Shit, what have I done? Nothing. Right? So I learn from these people. I absorb their information and there are things I agree, disagree with, whatever. The point is iron sharpens iron and you are not left out from that experience. You're having that experience right now. We're literally doing that together right now because my mission, when I leave here today, I don't stop doing the show. I do more research. I learn more facts, more information. I book more guests. I plan to sell more products to fund the show, support the show. Like this is a lifestyle. This is a way of life. This is what we do. And this is what you do too out there in the audience. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because if we don't have that childlike innocence and wonder, if we allow them to take that away from us and we become these depressed people that are fighting over like tiny little numbers and tiny little stats and whatever. The point is we're anti-war, America first, pro-humanity, and we want our troops home right now. Right now. And this is something, like I always say, the truth is the best propaganda. Who'd I hear that from? Larry Johnson, because it's true. He's basically never wrong. It's a fact. If you know the truth, you should be able to explain it very simply, like three sentences and less, or like four, like a small paragraph, whatever, right? We'll allow that. But if it's a word salad thing that you got to stretch out over how long this war gone on for, like 4 or 5 months now, if it's something you got to stretch out for half a year, you keep lying, saying the same thing. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. We're going to kill the mullahs. We're going to have regime change. Oh, wait, no, we're not. It's not about that. We just want to open the strait, but we're going to kill them all. We're going to get them. We're going to eliminate it. We can do it anytime we want. The schizophrenia of that, even people, just normal people, veterans, people that are getting involved in media, new alternative media people, I'll call them, even people that may get it wrong some of the times. You know what? I may get it wrong some of the times. Joe Kent may get it wrong some of the times. My dad, Tucker, Nick Fuentes, whatever you want to say. The people making an honest effort to find the truth are going to see 10,000 times the return on investment. And I think positive political change that we're looking for, that we're campaigning for, simply by getting the people awake and informed. That is what my dad always talks about, the cascade, the chain reaction. And that's why I get it. I understand when my dad gets mad and people go, you're not doing enough, X, Y, Z. You're not trying hard enough, whatever. We're literally fighting for you every single day. Your goal, your number one objective should be to get people to share live feed, share link, share transmission. Because without that, we can't win, period. That is the most important thing for you to keep in mind. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, Steven Crowder, Xavier Dubrousseau, all these twat waffles, whatever they're called, whatever we'll consider them, all these people, they are propped up by a machine, by an industry so vast that men hush their voices lest they be heard speaking about it. Okay? We are not. You are that for us. And that is the spirit bomb. That is the spirit bomb of all of this. We just need a little bit of your energy. Want you to buy a product, of course, that really supports the show. Grab the methylene blue. Why not? But at a bare minimum, Share this to people. Text it to people. Tell a friend at work. Tell a family member. Tell them about what's going on. Tell them about the Iran war, Ukraine, Section 224, Epstein files, you name it. Fluoride in your water, poison in your food. There's so many places just to get started. Because once you notice one room in the panopticon, you'll notice them all and you'll want out of it immediately. We have to reach that point collectively together. One of the places you can do that, thealexjonesstore.com. Support independent media. Support the best broadcasters in the world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and ensure this transmission never goes off the air.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, so I've broadcasted for 5 hours and 30 minutes today. We're going to round it out with some calls. We had a wide variety of topics today. We got a bunch of people on the board that I do want to talk to. And more, y'all, I want y'all to call in. That's 512-266-0642. If you want to call in, 512-266-0642. Oh, I need to go to that speech therapist to learn how to sing pretty songs and not have that lisp. 512-266-0642. Go ahead and call in and let me know what you thought of the Joe Kent interview. I want to hear like futurist predictions. Okay. I want to hear what you think is going to happen in the next 6 months resulting from the Iran or Ukraine war. Let's go ahead and get started with Jefferson in Virginia. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Rex? Thanks for taking my call.
100%.
Yeah. Joe Kent talking about the mass casualty event possibility just means Trump is going to double down. You know he's going to double down like a like an Uncle Dunce.
Sure.
And just keep saying that we need more weaponry that we don't have to area denial the southern coast of Iran from the Iranians. We're going to take the actions that make Bandar Abbas uninhabitable if we have to. And you're going to say it's a war crime and he's not going to care.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with you. I think that that's already happening. I think they're blowing up the bridges. That's already a war crime. So I agree. So where are you going from there?
Well, how do you not have to worry about war crimes? You just don't win. I mean, you just don't lose, right? You just keep fighting until you have won the war, and then you don't get prosecuted for the war crime.
Well, how do we do that? That seems impossible.
Well, I'm not sure what's going to be left of Iran if we have to break out stuff that nobody acknowledges we have in terms of weaponry, but
we can't use the theoretical or not theoretical, like the hyper weapons that we do have. We can't use those because then we become an international pariah. It's even worse than nuclear. So like we've lost because it's like saying, oh, I lose the boxing match, I'm going to go shoot him in the head. Technically, I win. It's like, no, you still lost the fight. So
I can see that you're worried about how the rest of the world views us, but I don't think the United States in the end game cares what the rest of the world thinks of us. We're a little bit like the Israelis. We're heading in that direction, but the Israelis are going to suffer for the greater Israel project, but I don't think we're going to. Not when the world sees what we have.
So you think that's the only solution is like a display of force?
We're already displaying force. We're just not using anything near our best stuff.
What, like how many people or how many buildings or how many cities do we have to destroy and how's that worth it?
Well, obviously we've told Iran you cannot have a nuclear weapon. We're not going to let you have a nuclear weapon and you don't need a nuclear power program. Certainly not the one that you're trying to build for yourselves. You don't need that. We could give you a different power source if you would take it, but you're claiming that you need your nuclear power generation reactors for civilian uses, but that's not true. So obviously you are.
Why is it not true? They're a signatory to the NPT. What are you talking about, Unc?
No, I'm saying if you believe that their nuclear power program and what treaties they sign will keep them from having a nuclear weapon, then you're deliberately naive.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon. Like, we murdered his ass with the missile.
Again, you're believing their statements on their nuclear aspirations.
Yeah, signed the NPT. We believe Israel's nuclear aspirations don't exist, even though they're not a signatory and they openly have nuclear weapons. Why are we a hypocrite? Yeah,
they've had nuclear weapons since 1966 or something, but why would they sign on to being inspected? Why do they need to?
Well, why are they allowed to threaten other nations, including us, with nuclear weapons like they did in 1973? Why is that not an issue? But Iran, theoretically, possibly, maybe getting one is, and it's worth using a super weapon on them to make sure that they don't. Would it not be worth it to use the same super weapon on Israel in your theoretical example?
I am perfectly happy to see us use a super weapon on Israel.
Okay. All right. I'll be honest with you. I'm not stoned enough for this conversation. I'm good today. Thank you, Jefferson. Let's go ahead and go to Ryan in Georgia. Ryan in Georgia on election fraud. Trump's release falling short. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Rex. Great to be on. The Ken interview was amazing as always.
Thank you.
So this, it seems like, you know, we got these bombshell documents out last week and it was great. Everybody got pumped. And then this week, you know, it's all, you just hear negative about it. It's kind of seems like it's being pushed under the rug. I'm even seeing things that Republicans don't even want to touch it now. So maybe was this kind of like a carrot on the stick, you think?
It's just kind of insane because, like, we have top Democrats and people cheating and rigging the elections and they never get punished. So the thing is like, we hear a lot of the time it's like, we got to vote. We got to do X, Y, Z to make sure the Republicans are able to do what they need to do. I don't buy that garbage anymore because when they're in power, they don't do it. They don't do it. And they literally have them dead to rights on a bunch of different things. I mean, just the idea of using the voting machines alone when 130 countries have banned them is ridiculous. But just putting all of that aside, the idea of, like, what do they always say about the Republicans? Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I think that's what this is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we get all these promises and they never follow through with it. And that's what I'm thinking this was. It was just a bunch of smoke and mirrors because this week, you know, after that drop, here we are at the beginning of the week and we're thinking ground invasion in Iran. So it's like, you know, the deportations, that was another thing. It was like, okay, here's this. We're going to fix this. I'm going to run on this. When it comes down to it, what have we really got? And I think this is just going to be another one of those things. We've got all this information. It's absolutely happened. But what are we going to do about it? Probably nothing.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation because here's the thing. The war is the thing that's going to impact us, like, right now. Like, for the next 6 months, things are going to get exponentially worse as this drags on, as Trump fails to extricate us, and as we get further and further mired in. God knows what they're going to do over there. Lord have mercy. May Jesus Christ save us and deliver us from the Iran war globally across the planet. Just everyone pray with me right now. May Jesus Christ deliver us from the Iran war and get us out of this. But all that being said, the reason why I bring that up is, we're in this situation where it's a rotating crisis and it's going to come time when it's election time again. And the Republicans are probably going to lose really bad, namely because of the war. But who knows? Also, maybe for other factors. And I wouldn't consider myself to be a Republican anymore. Certainly not. That being said, as my dad says, I can call balls and strikes and they're screwed either way. So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, they're getting nothing but strikes right now.
Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah, the whole situation over there, that's just, in my opinion, I think that's a battle we're never going to win.
Yes.
We're going into another country and we're trying to tell them how to live, how to develop, what they can and can't do. And we wouldn't let anyone come over here and do that.
Think about how angry the idea of our women having to wear burqas makes us. And then think about the idea of them having to have OnlyFans. And it's kind of the same concept in a way.
Yeah, you would like to think that, you know, we would take to the streets in that situation. But then again, if we watch this election fraud happen, some of us, we just don't do enough sometimes, I think, to counteract. So
I think the key
that if that stuff was to come here, could we have enough people stand up to defeat these kind of actions?
Well, the thing is we got to stand up now for our country and what we believe in, not what someone else wants us to fight, not some stupid battle for other people. We got to prioritize Americans first. Thank you for the call. Let's go ahead and take Charles in Ohio talking about the energy conflict. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes, it's a pleasure to get to speak to you.
Thank you.
And
likewise.
I feel this is very important. I'm glad I get to talk to you with your background in chemistry, biology, but are you familiar with the Fischer-Tropsch cycle, water cycle?
You know, it's been a while since I took environmental science. Will you give me a walkthrough really quick on the precipitation and all that?
Well, I'm really not the right person, but
okay.
I do have, I can inform you. What it is, and I've got the notes here, but I haven't got it so I could spell it out to you.
No, you're good. Take your time. Just use simpler words to explain more complicated concepts.
Okay, what this is, all I'm saying is every home in the United States could generate its own electricity and its own gas. And it would do it by this is the difference between an electric vehicle and a gasoline engine. An electric vehicle is a battery on wheels looking for a place to plug in. A gasoline vehicle is a portable power station. It generates gas and electricity. The exhaust gas we throw away every day, and if anybody's familiar with it, anybody's gone through college, they know that internal combustion engine, supposedly, they tell you, it only utilizes in the neighborhood of 25% of the fuel you put in it to take you to your destination. And that's close enough to true. But the thing is, we don't have to waste the other 75%. Well, 10% of it is parasitic drag and losses. But 60%, 30% goes out the radiator as heat. 30% goes out the exhaust as heat. That could be captured and used. And see, the thing is, though, every car that we call a pollutant in the world, that exhaust gas can be turned into burnable fuel through that cycle. And listen, Edison and J.P. Morgan knew this when they financed and built Pearl Street. They knew every home could generate its own gas. And they had the patents on this for internal combustion engines that manufactured their own fuel as you use them. And listen, it doesn't only apply to internal combustion engines. The United States Navy has patents on it where they looked at it for using it on submarines. But the United States Navy has something. They have all the money in the world to dedicate to nuclear. But we could have perfected this for people's automobiles.
Thank you. I appreciate the call, and I will do more research. Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to the next call. Let's go to Jordan in California on Iran. Jordan, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex, how can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Awesome. Previous caller, a couple things wrong with that. Coming out the tailpipe, you need hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons is what fuel is made of. Yeah, you're
right.
Using heat out of both ways, but yeah, a lot of fallacies there.
Right.
No, I just want to talk about Iran and that we kind of looked over the whole idea of money laundering with Ukraine.
Sure.
Ever since Trump got in, that most of the money laundering probably stopped. I imagine.
I imagine it's all the same. The reason why I don't talk about it ad nauseum is just like, oh, we have a person with cancer that lost all their hair and their teeth are falling out. It's like they lost another tooth.
Yeah, chemo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring up the money laundering part. And then, I really like your guys' products, especially your dad's. And I just bought some toothpaste off of your website, 50% off.
Sick.
Carbon toothpaste is just a game changer. But, yeah, I think it all comes back to money. You just follow the money. And, USAID's pretty much no longer around. I mean, there's still a lot going on, but they're definitely reducing it. But, you know, war is money to these people, and I think
what's your prediction? What's your prediction for the next six months? And then call back in 6 months, Jordan from California, and we'll talk about it again. What's your prediction?
Right. I think eventually Trump is going to find an off-ramp, hopefully. I'm hoping. But I think I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Honestly, I don't really have a good prediction, but I think,
what way does this expand? Does Ukraine, Russia expand first, or does Iran, Israel, United States expand first?
I think the Israel thing expands. I think the Lebanon, Turkey, they're going to start doing the Greater Israel Project and all that. I think Russia eventually is going to start coming around and kind of solve that issue. Hopefully we stop funding that. We've already figured out that Zelensky's a corrupt politician. So hopefully that gets pretty easy, but.
Oh, don't get me started. I've interviewed Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar, Green Beret, Purple Heart recipient. He was over there, in Gaza working for the GHF and other stuff. And he's explained to me from the Israeli perspective of the military goals, they're actually very close to doing what they need to get done, because they're cutting a corridor between Syria and Lebanon, and then a corridor between like Iraq and Iran with the separatist groups that they can control and funnel resources to. So in terms of cutting roads to build their Greater Israel project, I forget, it's Operation Gideon's Chariots, right, or something like that. Maybe I'm blanking. I got the wrong name for it. This is what they're doing from the American perspective. It is literally like the idea of taking your child to a batting cage, turning on the machine, and having them sit in front of it. That's basically what it is, dude. Like, all our troops over there, they're screwed. Like, what are they supposed to do? They can't fight a war against Iran because they can't go over there and invade a nation protected by all these mountains and stuff that hasn't fallen in like 4,000 years. And they can't stay safe in the base because we don't have air defense. It's like a Looney Tunes idea.
It's like we're fighting with our hands tied behind our back. And I've experienced that. I was in Iraq. So I've already been part of the Greater Israel Project. So
maybe talk about that a little bit. Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. What was your experience like over there?
So I was a medic for the cavalry, and we were in charge of securing their elections. And coincidentally, they had more secure elections than us. You know, they would use fingerprints for their election process. But we were dealing with mostly the local leaders, and going to mahalas and talking to all of them and seeing what we can help them. But another part of it was we were helping build their country. You know, we would repave their roads like every 3 months, and that was like $10 million just in Baghdad, you know, not the whole country. And then we would carry around, my LT would carry around $10,000 in a suitcase, and we would find people to try to clear out fields that were full of trash because they don't have a trash system. And you know, most of those people would just take the money and run. We would, maybe 10% would actually rebuild a field and make a soccer field out of it. So it's just, again, it just all comes back to money. You know, it's all big money grift.
Everyone's just trying to survive, but at certain levels that stops, right? And then it becomes this hunger. And that's what Rockefeller said, is just how much money is enough. When asked, he said one more dollar. And I often come back to that in my mind when I think about, you know, the way some of these people operate. I think when you reach a certain level of money, power, or status, you kind of become like an entity and less of a person. I think this is just kind of a fact of life. You know, the Arabs, if you watch Lawrence of Arabia, the original movie, there's a scene where one of like the Arab tribesmen explains that he doesn't want his photo taken because he's going to lose a portion of his soul. I do believe in that in various aspects, especially when it comes to a certain level of like financial accumulation. I think you look at somebody like Trump. I was a Trump supporter in 2024 because I looked at Donald Trump as a man who lost money and actually lost power, you know, trying to at least be somewhat of a more peaceful guy, won on a referendum against the Iraq war that you fought in, right? And only to see him come back in 2024 and just lie about all of his policies. I voted for him to end the war in Ukraine. So I said you're very disappointed. Really quick before you go, because you are a veteran, as a veteran, what is your prognosis on him as commander in chief? And anything else you want to add?
I definitely don't like it. He, like you said, he's kind of done a 180 on everything he's ever talked about. You know, he's now grifting. He's now making more money than ever.
It's absurd.
And, you know, the whole no new wars, the Epstein thing, everything. It seems like it turned around. And tinfoil hat moment, I feel like it's, you know, I forgot who, but he's a Jewish guy, and he's talking about a brain wave or a brain laser or whatever, electromagnetic beam or whatever to brainwash people, right? And if I had contact with Trump, I would tell him stop sleeping next to your phone, and then wear some sort of sensor that detects any type of radiation, any type of
real,
you know, anything, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they also give him things like a gold pager. I don't know what else that is, if not a threat.
It links to the phone somehow, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. Those are good points. Call back in half a year. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it. From Joe and from America, I guess. American Joe. How are you doing?
Rex.
How are you doing?
Can you hear me, Rex? All right. Yeah. So I wanted to bring something up. Like, my bank, it offers something called a statement of condition. What that is they offer a pamphlet to their customers, and I'm not going to say who my bank is.
Sure.
But it tells their customers what their assets and investments are compared to their debt. So you know that your lender, whether or not they're underwater, like
yeah, they're stable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I never really hear anybody talk about that because, I mean, you know, I might not have all the money in the world, but at least I feel like the bank that I have it secured in is plenty above water. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the vast majority of institutions are insolvent. Right. So I think the reason why people don't talk about it is because people don't want to talk about it.
Right. Also, I have one other thing. I think a debate between Rabbi Schmoly and Nick Fuentes would be a good debate.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll push. Yeah. We'll push for that one 100%.
All right, Rex. All right. Thanks, Rex.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Joe. Wherever you are in the beautiful U.S. of A. Hope you're having a good day. Let's go to Sean in California with news. Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, Rex. How you doing out there in Austin, Texas?
Doing pretty good.
Great, great. So I want to give you either a good news or a bad news because they're both going to be kind of take a little bit of narrative, but I don't want to waste too much time of your callers. So
no, you're good. We got 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. Just go ahead and tell us.
Okay, well, we'll hit you with the bad news first. So back when I was a little boot back in the late 90s and, you know, doing the Marine Reserves and things, we noticed that even though the Marine Corps can make its numbers, we had a tremendously tough time recruiting. And so where my headspace is at today is, are we recruiting more recruits into our armed forces that are foreign and thus maybe not loyal to us, but
right,
like the police forces we're seeing, or do we encourage the people who do have our nation's best interests at heart, that are home, you know, from here at home, to sign up knowing they're going to be sent to the meat grinder? It's kind of a, you know, a catch 22.
Yes, it's also extremely Roman as well, because that's part of what happened to Rome is a big factor in the decline. So history mirrors itself for sure.
Yeah, and so remember, if we don't get our good people on the inside of the military, then they're just going to use drones and AI and other things to replace us and then justify it. And we won't have the tactical training either to counter. And if anything ever does go door to door kinetic, you know, in the homeland. Now, there's good news. And one of your callers kind of touched on this too. Your other site that may sound like 50%off.com, something similar to like that, last Friday morning in the mailbox, I got some products from you, the Super Blue and that. And my point on that, Rex, as good news, is it shows that even with all the lawfare and the negativity directed at your family and directed at your products and so on, if we as patriots still say, hey, we want it this way, we're going to do it this way, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, we're going to support the patriots that believe in us and that we believe in, and we keep this economy going,
right,
we keep doing, and we keep pushing, we will win. We will get nice things in our mailbox. We will get nice results in our family, in our communities, and so
right,
on. But we gotta, you know, we gotta keep our chin up a little bit. And I know sometimes you put in long hours. Harrison puts in long hours with you. Alex, you know, you guys are grinding.
Right.
Keep grinding, guys, because people like me,
you are
out here in California. We see it and we need it. We need that motivation.
Yes.
You guys are that motivation.
You are so kind. You are too kind. Thank you so much for your support. This is the only life that I've ever known. Literally, I've been in here since I was 8. So I just like, for me, what I do on a business side, business perspective, I've been doing a business, my own business for 6 years now. When I see the package go out the door, that's everything I was taught. That's honoring our relationship together, that 360 win. Thank you so much for your call, man. That's very kind. I want to get to Michael in Ohio. Let's get to Michael. Kent interview in Cuba is next. 1 minute on the clock. 1 minute, 5 seconds, Michael.
Minute. All right.
One minute.
This is your boy, Michael Taylor. I'm going to get you on X, 50%off.com. Hit up that Ultimate Sleep Sport. My wife loves it. She's going through menopause shit and her stuff. And yeah, so.
Let's go, dude.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's great. I've ordered 3 bottles. We're going to get more. So Cuba is next. I thought it was going to be much sooner. I called your dad about this. I really thought it was going to be in like now. But they're definitely prepping for that. And if you look at
right,
the block that Trump wants to take between Greenland, Cuba, Canada, he's talked about all these places. That's literally the whole North American block that they want to segment us into like 7 countries. And so I feel like Trump's a total sold out globalist. I don't think he's going to solve Iran anytime soon. I think he really wants the long haul. And just real quick, Republicans are going to lose, man. We got to start putting forth independent candidate.
Yes.
You're not beholden to a party, and you don't have to worry about a primary. We can put 20 independents on a ticket.
Independent is the future. See you all on Wednesday. Peace.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexjonesshow.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc. The flower of the Renaissance challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, make Orwell fiction again, and so much more at theelexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.